Hey, let's start the show.
It's November 3rd, 2011. Welcome to This Is Only a Test, the official podcast of Tested.com. I'm Will Smith. Joining me today, as always, well, actually not as always, you're wearing a frumpled-ass, wrinkly plaid shirt, Norm Chan.
One, it is plaid, which we've established.
That's the new official color of Chan.
No. It's long been a staple of the wardrobe, the Chandrobe. But it's been...
Did you just proper name the clothes that he wears? Is that what just happened?
Chandrobe.
The Chandrobe.
That's gross. In my room, because I designed my house,
yes,
I have four closets.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know how I know?
One is a walk-in.
Do you know how? Wow.
One is for jackets.
Wow.
And I have two for storage, including game boxes and shit.
Wow.
What do you do about shoes? Do you have a shoe closet?
No, I just bought three of those IKEA shoe rack things. So I share a house with five people.
How many fucking pairs of shoes do you
wear? I share a house with five people.
You always wear the same pair of shoes.
No, and
slip-ons.
These are comfortable.
Like old people
wear. If you look at the basement where I have all the shoe rack stuff, I occupy two of the three shoe racks.
New nickname, Chan Melda.
Yeah.
So whenever I go look at houses in your neighborhood, the closets always have like Gucci and Armani bags in them.
I have no Gucci and Armani bags.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. Plaid is stage one. And we have achieved stage one. I was saying earlier before we recorded, stage two is the frumpled, just got out of bed
right.
look.
Is stage three where you guys kiss? Okay, because
no.
that would be uncomfortable. No. Gary Witt is here. He's wearing plaid too.
There is a very funny, because we were talking about bedhead before the show as well. And that whole what we call the kind of the rumpled or the tousled
yeah.
look.
Yeah, yeah. Brad Pitt pioneered.
There's a big difference between the kind of the bedhead and the crumpled shirt.
I know
that you see on TV and in fashion,
and what
it looks like when you actually just don't give a shit.
Yeah, yeah,
like when
correct.
You haven't ironed your shirt,
yeah,
and you haven't taken care of yourself.
You and I have both spent a long time doing the you just don't give a shit. I mean.
Yeah,
maybe things have changed
39
recently.
Years in my case.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
well, Gary, you started giving a shit this year.
I started giving a shit this year because I lost weight.
Yeah.
And so I felt like I used to feel like when I was fat that it didn't matter what I wore because I would just look like a fat man trying
Lipstick
to wear decent clothes. Exactly.
Yeah.
And now that I've lost weight, I actually feel like I can wear.
It's the best
kind
part.
Of a
see now
of,
I
like
just now I just look absurd
clothes.
Because I'm too old to be wearing these clothes.
No,
not
yeah.
too
no,
fat
no, no.
to be wearing these clothes.
Yeah.
I think it's preferable.
Will just doesn't care.
When are you going to join? When are you going to start wearing collared shirts?
Motherfuckers, I was wearing plaid collared shirts when he was in grade school.
So when it wasn't cool.
No, it was cool.
Now it is cool. You're not doing it.
You know, back in the grunge days.
And you speak of bedhead. Bedhead is actually the name of the hair product.
Yeah.
That both Will and I use.
But again, there's again,
you change.
Oh, the blue ball thing?
Yeah, the blue ball. It's bedhead.
Yeah, no, is that no? That's it's just the brand. It's
again, cool, people talk about brand. That just yes. got out of bed look,
yeah.
but the reality
really
is, look in the mirror when you actually have just got out of bed.
Nobody oh no, it's terrible.
Like
no, no,
it
no.
Actually, it actually takes
I actually
a lot of effort
like
to create hair that
to bring
looks
the
like
soul
you don't
back in.
Care.
Yeah, that's correct.
At CES, Norm knows I roll out of bed looking like this. This is it. This is me. I'm just awesome from.
But you obviously care a little bit because there's clearly some product in your hair.
There is product involved.
Okay.
Yeah.
See what I like about what
city.
I like, and you can tell there is in mine
this
as well. But what I like about
there's
Norm is
going to be a lot of commentary on this conversation.
That's all right.
Okay. Norm's hair has that kind of tousled bedhead look, but it's
yes.
not obvious that there's product in it. So I admire
but
the way.
But
that
But
he
we
pulls
use
that
the same
off.
Product. It's this the wax.
It's
product.
Different kind of hair.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
I have thin hair.
Well, Norm's got a very full, rich
Norm,
head of hair.
Norm has a
You've
full
got very thick
hair.
Head of hair.
You know, my wife has this product that they gave her last time. Well, I say gave, but what I really mean is probably sold for $70 or something ridiculous. Last time she went and got her hair cut, it's this powder. It's like a salt shaker, and she shakes it in her hair, and it makes it get crazy big.
What, like in Regency times when people wore powdered wigs
kind
and stuff?
Of, yeah. It's like – but it's magic. It's like – it's the kind of thing
I don't
I
like
want to find out how it works.
The idea of salting your head –
it's not like
sounds
you're a
terrible.
You're not going to melt down.
It's like salting the earth. Like you don't.
Yeah, it's like nothing will grow.
True.
Yeah, exactly.
So, so what's going on this? So plaid, huh? So
plaid
you're saying
good.
That
plaid seems
to be
very much in.
Yeah.
Right now.
And you know what? Now is the best time to buy plaid shirts because
yeah.
the clothing stores are changing their lines for winter clothing.
So you're saying that
and in San Francisco we don't have winter.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so all the plaid stuff is reduced.
Well, we
price.
Do have winter. January and February are pretty windy and rainy.
But plaid is a fall. It's summer and fall.
Is it?
Style.
I don't know.
It is.
I need to get two pieces of winter San Francisco attire. I need to get a pair of rain shoes to wear when it's wet out because sneakers don't work when you're walking from the train or something.
Yeah.
And I need to get a raincoat that's like, I have like a raincoat that's like a going camping raincoat.
Yeah.
But I don't have like a walking from the train, the neon yellow North Face jacket. Little bit weird when you're walking around downtown San Francisco.
I bought a nice winter coat the other day.
I have a good winter coat.
The problem is, again, you so rarely get a chance to wear that. I used to.
You also don't go out. You have to, like, at night when it's brisk.
One of the things that I used to like about living in England, and I think, you know, you can get this in many places in the world, in America, just not here in California, are those cold winter months where it's actually kind of fun to really wrap up warm and put on a scarf and a big coat and a chunky sweater and gloves and a hat and just feel like you're all balled up against the elements. You don't get to do that here because the weather's cold enough to justify it.
Yeah. Or just go to Tahoe.
Or get New York.
Go to Tahoe.
Yeah. Like in the latest issue of Wired, they did a story on the fashion in that new movie, the Gary Oldman movie, Tinker Tailor Spy, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they talk about how recreating the clothing of, I guess it was the 60s, Cold War era.
Yeah.
And he's wearing like a shirt, a double-breasted suit, a scarf, a vest, and a jacket.
Yeah, that's lots of layers.
It's layers. It's lots crazy of layers.
So like I have, when my grandfather died, my grandmother gave me his overcoat because they lived in New York for a long, long time. So he has like a badass 60s era New York City overcoat. Grandfather's exactly the same size as me, right? Like same height, same basic build. You know, he was a little heavier, lighter as time progressed. But they wore so many clothes underneath those jackets that I – like there's no way I can wear that jacket ever.
Right.
Which is a super bummer because it's a totally rad like New York style.
Yeah.
Early London.
Yeah. I need to find an excuse to go to cold places so that I can wear nice, you know, my cool coat.
And they're
cool.
Not cheap. A good winter coat. It's a couple hundred bucks.
I've got a good winter – cheesy winter sweater that has snowflakes and stuff on it that I like to wear.
Well, yeah. Cheesy – the sweaters are great. You can wear those at home and feel very good.
Yeah. Well, the thing is it gets just cold enough here in San Francisco that it's warm. It's cold enough to wear a sweater, but you don't really need anything beyond that.
San Francisco's hoodie weather.
You need a shell. You need something hoodie. To break the wind or the fog.
Hoodies.
Yeah.
But you guys don't wear hoodies.
I wear hoodies.
I have a bunch of hoodies.
Really? I've never seen you guys wear hoodies.
I wear hoodies.
Maybe zip-ups?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
I've got like two in the car right now that I when if it's cold, I just grab one out of the bag.
Yes. Having a hoodie in your car is a good pro tip.
I sometimes allard. Like I'll wear like an over jacket with a hoodie underneath.
Oh, that's way too early thousands.
I think that's a good look. I like that.
It works for me because the beard rounds out the face and, you know.
I was in a store the other day. I can't remember which department store it was. I think it was a Macy's. They sell jackets now that have the hoodie layer.
It's fake.
That's the dicky of the hoodie.
You can zip or unzip just that part and take it off.
Yeah, it's kind of like I'm not sure about that.
Oh no.
Yeah,
that kind of feels like a clip-on bow tie or something.
It's a dickie.
Yeah.
And so I went to see Kevin Smith last weekend when they had Red State at the Castro Theater.
Did you watch Red State?
No, we left before Red State came on
because that's like a 4-hour marathon, right?
So
it's a free. You can go watch it on Netflix now.
On Netflix
really?
For free.
Yeah, okay,
we went. Wow. We bought tickets before Gina hurt her back, and then like by the time the Q&A was done, she couldn't sit anymore.
Have you not learned your lesson about paying to see Kevin Smith?
This was a request of my.
Was
wife.
It a lot of the same material as when we saw him before that last time?
No,
I've seen seven times.
Well, this time Muse was there, so there was like a that was a little bit different. It was the Jay and Silent Bob Get Old podcast, basically.
Oh.
I'm a little Kevin Smith out at this point. Like I've reached my maximum.
Yeah, small, I thoroughly enjoyed it when we saw him live that last time
at the Warfield. Right?
The one with the tables.
I just saw him one time live, and I've seen a couple of his DVDs. And I always find him a very entertaining guy to listen to. But you can only take so much.
It's the same story. So he'll tell the Superman story about the spider.
He doesn't tell those stories about
the Zack and Miri waking up for the. For that,
yes, he does tell that one. He tells the Wayne Gretzky story.
Yeah, Wayne Gretzky. Yeah.
See, he didn't do any. This was all new material. Okay. But this was a lot of like youthful growing up on the shores of New Jersey stuff.
Okay.
And then everybody's wearing Halloween costumes because it was the Friday before Halloween.
Oh, okay.
So they did a Halloween contest, and then they were going to show Red State, and then they were going to do a Q&A after that about Red State. So we left before Red State came on.
You could watch that.
Yeah, I'm curious to see it, but I'll just see it on. It's on my Netflix queue.
It does have a really long middle segment.
Yeah, that's
have
what
you
I
seen
heard.
It?
I haven't seen it yet.
Well, but what I was going to say was at the Kevin Smith thing, he was talking about he takes socks and makes arm dickies for them. So he doesn't like having...
So like soccer socks.
So,
long.
So he wears like hockey jerseys.
Yes,
with a
always.
T-shirt underneath,
yes.
To absorb the sweat, because he's kind of a big guy.
Okay, so yeah, you guys are like that. Okay,
I'm not.
Similar.
I'm not. Fuck you.
No, you wear
like
the undershirt, but you wear the undershirt.
Yeah, I do wear an undershirt.
Okay,
I think men should wear undershirts. You're wearing an undershirt right now.
Sure.
So, but he didn't like having his pasty white arms showing underneath the sleeves of the hockey jersey. So he made, and he didn't want to wear an extra layer because he's a big guy and didn't want to get sweaty. So he pulled off. He had these socks that he cut the ends out of and made like. Leg warmers for his forearms.
Nice.
Crazy. Which was like
were they, what
an
type of
amazing
socks were they?
Level of crazy and awesome. Right?
Were they the like soccer socks with the two stripes at the top?
There were no
the stripes. Two
stripes? It was just like a pair of black socks.
Oh, black socks.
Okay. They could have been dress socks. But
it's
I
kind
think
of kind like an arms, like, those fake arm sleeve tattoo things.
Yeah, kind of. Oh. It was like a dickie for your arms.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was very weird and it was like a Howard Hughes kind of moment. I was like, this
I disapprove of
celebrity.
I mean, doing it is one thing. Admitting that you do that in front of a huge audience is a whole other thing as well.
Well, they've already paid.
Yeah, the thing is,
he has their money already.
No. The tops fell down.
Oh, so he was forced to.
And he had to come clean.
Oh. Wow.
And then he got into the whole like I do put these on before I go on stage because it's like the calming ritual and all that business. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, it was an interesting show. I don't need to go see Kevin Smith live for a long time again, though. Should we talk about tech news? Anything happened this week?
Yeah, it's a reader's choice.
Listener's choice episode.
Listener's choice.
Yeah.
Which means, if you don't know, a Google Doc was opened last night.
Yes.
And you, the listener, if you follow Will on Twitter, there's a link.
Yeah.
You retweeted it. You can contribute and you can make our show notes.
I jumped into that Google Doc right after you tweeted it.
Yeah.
And I put in a couple of notes, and you see like all the users kind of jumping in, and
like 80 people will be in there.
It's like Fantasia when the mops and buckets come to
really,
life, right?
It really is.
Mops and buckets, because that's what the listeners are. They're the mops.
No,
and
but you
buckets.
Know what I mean. It's like all these. You know, there's all these little living elements kind of happening.
It's like
the work is doing itself for you. It's kind of magical.
It is magical.
Well, it's interesting because stuff comes up.
Gary, I have to commend you on the 3/4 sleeve too.
Let's see.
Well, see, fold. This shirt forces it.
Oh, that shirt's
it's
too,
got the
too,
little
the
thing.
The sleeves are too big, though. You need to tighten that up.
Wrong.
Do a quarter fold.
You cannot sit there in a t-shirt.
I can tell that
anything.
You are left-handed.
Yes, I can.
Because your left forearm is bigger than your right forearm.
Yeah, a little bit. I don't think there's much difference.
Yeah, so the listener's choice is one of my favorite things. Ryan had never seen that before. Ryan Davis had never seen that before. So
what, the Google Docs?
The Google Doc. Like, because we were in a meeting the other day. He's like, oh my God, this document's editing itself.
It's like a ghost is taking over your computer.
Yeah. So I said, oh, wait until we do a listener's choice. And I sent him the link and it blew his mind. He was just like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's crazy. I had to leave. I put a couple of things in and then I had to leave because it was freaking me out.
Freaking you out.
You can't keep up with it. There's so many people in there and editing.
Well, it's weird.
I actually wanted to add something this morning, but I guess you locked it.
I did lock it.
Okay.
It's almost like if you're – because we use it sometimes.
If you shut it down, if you leave it running, and eventually some troll comes in and just Command-A deletes everything.
Right. So at some point you got to lock it.
It's the magic of Google Wave, which doesn't exist anymore. And we used to do this – collaborate on stories and stuff. And it's weird because you can see everyone's – like Google Wave especially tracks what you type. So if you type something and you decide to delete a sentence, it's still there.
You can play it
in
back.
The permanent history. So I wonder if people type out something in like Notepad first and then paste it in the Google Docs just to
I don't know.
Show off their errors.
It's a super fun thing to watch. It's a fun way to make a different kind of show, I think. So anyway, listener's choice. So let's just jump right into it. First thing, we touched this a little bit last week. There's more details now. Meg Whitman of HP has decided that HP is going to continue selling PCs.
It was breaking news when we recorded the podcast last week. HP is keeping their PC division, which is their personal systems, I believe it's called.
Yeah, so that's PCs, digital photo frames, monitors, printers.
Yes.
Well, printers were out of that before, but yeah.
They're keeping that.
Stuff that you would buy.
Does this mean that the tablet is coming back?
No. They're still evaluating the future of WebOS, and there is some WebOS news today in terms of like – I think there was some tweet that was leaked from a new build of WebOS.
Well, I also saw that they put that Windows 7 slate on sale today.
We didn't talk about this too because I met with HP yesterday.
That's interesting.
To see that Windows 7 slate.
How was it?
It's,
can you talk about it?
Yeah, sure. Okay. The embargo went up yesterday. They actually leaked it themselves. But the point is – I saw a bunch of HP stuff yesterday, and it's funny because that meeting would not have happened if Meg Whitman had decided. She said end of October when she would decide whether they would keep their personal systems group. And they decided, I mean, she said, yes, they're going to keep it. They had a ton of stuff to show that they would not have shown otherwise. That wouldn't be there.
Wow, so they were like, all those people making products.
All those people, I don't know, they would be very worried if Meg Whitman had decided not to keep the Personal Systems Group.
Well, I mean, it's a good decision because they employ a shitload of people in California.
Yeah.
Good for us.
Yeah.
They're the, I think, probably one of two or three companies you would say are premier PC mm-hmm. builders at this point.
And I think they said they're, yeah.
Had they bailed out, it's really bad news for Microsoft.
You know what's interesting to me is, you know, people give Netflix a lot of grief for all these false starts and changes of direction. Like, you know, they, oh, we're going to do Quickster and separate the DVD and streaming. Oh, wait, no, we're not. We're going back to it. Sorry, we annoyed you. And the stock price is plummeting and media are all over Netflix for being a company without any direction. HP is like that, only even worse. Why are they getting a free pass?
Well, but HP doesn't make the decision. HP makes the decision and then changes it back before it actually takes effect.
Well, Quickster didn't take effect.
Quickster didn't take effect, but all the price changes they made, and then they changed the way they were going to do that, and then they announced the.
I know, but a company,
a CEO change.
A company the size of HP cannot utterly change its direction and then completely change it back, like lurching around, like it's got no idea what it's doing. Like,
that's why.
It's crazy.
Three CEOs in 2 years.
Yeah, exactly. That's why CEOs aren't there anymore. And Reed Hastings, that's why people are calling for him to. Not be in charge of Netflix.
I think
anymore.
He should be a superhero alter ego instead of a CEO. Of
I was reading something similar about there was another doom and gloom story about Yahoo the other day because apparently Yahoo is very aggressively trying to sell itself to somebody. So Yahoo's had three CEOs in 4 years.
Yeah.
They can't get their shit together either.
Yeah, I mean, but they're looking to sell.
Yeah.
Anything
out of the
personal? There's a bunch of stuff that's under embargo that we can't talk about. Wes and I took a meeting, but the slate is announced. So the slate 2. Remember when Ballmer went up CES 2010? So we're talking about almost 2 years ago.
You mean 2010?
2010, before the iPad 1 came out, and everyone's kind of speculating. Saying Apple's going to come out with a tablet. And think about this. Before the iPad was released, we didn't even know it was called the iPad because we didn't know until Jobs went up on stage and called the iPad.
Yeah, that's right.
And Apple had bought domains like iSlate.
Or iTab.
And iTab. And people, I think iSlate was what, at Apple Slate is what people thought it would be called. I think there was a significant number of bloggers who thought it would be called the Slate.
If you
look up Google search,
Slate Computing.
And then Ballmer went up on stage at CES and said Slate Computing is the future. And then people were saying, oh, now that Ballmer's kind of laid claim to the Slate name, maybe Apple can't use it anymore. Who knows? I mean, we can't imagine the iPad not being called the iPad now.
I still think it's a dumb name.
I think people were worried confused. I know we're totally used to it now. But
it's
back
like when
then,
the Beatles were called the Quarrymen.
Yeah.
It sounds like a feminine hygiene product.
Just the word
well,
Slate.
There were tons of jokes.
Like, Slate sounds like the name of like a bad guy or something in a movie.
Well, Slate is
like,
a website. I mean, are you saying those guys are bad guys?
And also, I can't hear the word beef? Slate without hearing the sound of nails down a chalkboard. Yeah. So, yeah, it's just we're better off without it.
Yeah,
you don't actually need to do it.
I can keep going.
Granite, concrete, like, connotation, right?
Yeah.
It feels earthy and strong.
But HP had that first slate on stage. Ballmer, I think he showed like Twilight ebooks on it. And it was running Windows 7 way back in 2010, before the iPad, before apps, before ARM. They released that slate. It sold well enough that they are doing a second version. So the slate 2.
So they're selling that into businesses, though. They're like,
it is
airplane
only a business.
Like
it is not for consumers,
yeah,
only
it's
for
really
businesses.
Expensive.
I think $700. It runs Atom. Intel Atom processor. Same body as the last
slate.
So it's
a netbook with no
except they changed
no
the back. Yeah, exactly. And they do sell like a case and a keyboard, a Bluetooth keyboard, which look really bad. It has Swipe built in, which is the first implementation of Swipe for Windows. Swipe runs as a Windows program. Slow as hell to load. Not responsive.
This is from your hands-on with it?
From hands-on yesterday. Okay. Yeah. On a production model. Didn't like Swipe on this at all.
Keyboard has always been the shitty part of
keyboard
touch
Windows. Windows 7 is shit. And they said, oh, now we're including Swipe, so it'll be easier. But it's still really slow. The fact that it runs Atom still surprised me. I mean, if we're talking compared to the Windows 8 tablets that we saw out of build, those were Core i5s. But those will probably be, you know, closer to $800. I mean, it's still $700. It's expensive.
It doesn't sound very exciting.
It is not.
Not that this would make me more excited about it, but if it was a ultrabook without a keyboard instead of a netbook without a keyboard, I might be
more interested. The fact that it runs Atom and not a ULV processor is crazy.
The Windows 8 tablets are kind of ultrabooks without keyboards,
right?
That's
pretty much it. Yeah.
Exactly. So my theory is that they refreshed this because some businesses wanted – I mean, they sold enough so that there's demand for it. And IT people like it. Because they can get the
IT people are dicks, man.
IT people love Windows software. I mean, that's what they've built their companies around.
Yeah, because it's so supported. That's the only reason they like it.
Yeah. And there's all the security stuff. So I think they made this. They didn't rush the body at all because they didn't want to put the resources on that, but they didn't want to kill off the division because the slate is probably what they're going to build Windows 8 on next year.
Right.
They're going to keep the division around, not spend a lot of R&D on the second version, but have all the employees still there and then work on Windows 8.
So they talk about ARM and Windows 8 at all?
They would not. They said they're considering Windows 8, but they couldn't give it.
If Meg Whitman is now the CEO and she's basically saying, forget about what the last guy said. Everything's normal. That never happened. Why is the touchpad not being restored as part of that, the riding of the ship?
They're still evaluating the future of UpOS.
Right.
Because now remember, HP, their strongest partnership was with Microsoft, and if Microsoft is pushing Windows 8 and can give them support on that, then why not put all their eggs in the Windows 8 bandwagon? Touchpad has lost more money than the acquisition cost.
Right.
Right. Well, and the other thing is the touchpad, even though they put WebOS on good hardware, it was still pretty slow. The homebrew community has helped that problem some by overclocking the hardware, by turning off a bunch of background services and all that. But fundamentally, that is not the product that I would have expected.
Right. Is HP better served by spending a ton of money fixing WebOS and making a decent tablet, or spending double the resources on making a great Windows 8 tablet, knowing that Microsoft's going to push that super hard?
And we'll do co-marketing money and all that stuff so they don't have to pay for it.
And then they can be the best in class Windows 8 tablet.
Right.
Amazon last night flipped the switch on the Amazon Prime lending library. I don't think that
this is so
awesome.
I woke up this morning.
Do you have a Kindle?
I have a Kindle, yeah.
This is very cool.
I have the keyboard Kindle from
the third gen. Okay, do you have a Kindle? You do.
My Kindle's on my nightstand, the new generation one. I woke up, and what's my Kindle offer on the lock screen? Lending library now available for Prime.
It was news. It gave you news.
Yeah, see, the offers are actually good for me.
The offers for me keep telling me that I need to get waxed in the San Francisco Bay Area Peninsula. And
maybe you should take a hint.
I don't want to get waxed.
I've been getting – I mean, it's got to be coincidental because I guess Amazon's got some data on me. But recently the lock screen offers have been remarkably like, I might be interested in that. Like, how do they know this?
So I discovered yesterday as I was digging into the personal document service stuff for reasons that we'll discuss later, I discovered that you can tell it which ads you like and don't like in the Manage My Kindle page. So if there are offers that you do like, you say, I want more offers down. Like this. And if you say there are offers I don't like, then you can tell it you don't like those offers. So I'm gonna thumbs up those waxing.
More and more places are doing that. I've been using Hulu quite a bit lately, and Hulu obviously makes you watch ads, and it will say once you're done with the ad, it'll actually give you a choice of ads, or afterwards it will say, was this ad relevant to you? And you know,
most of the time you click no. But sometimes if ad is like funny, then I'll
yeah. Or if it's if it's a product I'm interested in.
So the thing
if I have to watch ads, which we're never going to get away from, then I'd rather watch ads that may be relevant.
You know, the ads, I was watching Walking Dead on demand, and the ads now, because we were talking about this earlier, how it used to be annoying because it was the same like four car ads over and over again.
Yeah.
Or same car ad four times.
Yeah.
Now it's like a complete AMC viewing experience. Like the 40-minute show is a full hour on demand on Comcast, and I get full commercial breaks. Varied ads.
See, this is where TiVo wins.
And all of AMC's stuff.
Well, it depends.
I forget that I'm on
No, but when I go on demand, if you watch an episode that's like a legacy episode, like a few episodes back, you will get the thing where it's just one ad.
Oh, yes, because they don't
if you're watching this week's episode, you'll get regular
commercial
breaks.
It's like the ratings stuff. So once the TV show, like once it's 3 or 4 days out, they don't count it toward ratings anymore.
Right.
And at that point, they don't show premium ads on it anymore. They just show cheapos.
Yeah, I think for the live plus 3 viewing figures to count the way that they do, because everything is now built, you know, time shifted viewing figures count, they have to carry the full slate of ads.
Right. So
I just got a notice that my registration of pcxlmagazine.com is going to expire.
Oh, did you register that?
Oh, no.
Yeah, I registered that.
I remember when they were working on that.
I own that domain.
Okay.
Oh, wait, you have PCXL.com?
PCXLmagazine.com.
Oh.
I don't know why.
Because I remember when they relaunched PC Accelerator as PCXL.com, which reminds me of this kind of racy website.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And it lasted about five minutes.
Before Games Radar.
It was literally 2 days.
Before Daily Radar.
Was it 2 days?
They announced that they teased it on Friday, launched it on Monday, and shut it down on Tuesday.
Yeah, what a nightmare.
So the Kindle Lending Library, it's free to Prime members. The selection of books is pretty thin. Like the best thing that I saw in there was Hunger Games.
Well, The Last Lecture by Randy Pausch.
When you say the best thing, you mean you're talking about
the highest profile.
Okay, right.
Like there were a bunch of New York Times top 100 bestsellers, not a whole lot of top 20 bestsellers.
None of the major publishers are signed on.
Yeah, it'll take a while for people to come around to this
clear
idea.
It up. To explain what it is if you own a Amazon Kindle, has to be Kindle hardware, not just the Kindle app on iPhone or iPad.
My guess is that that will come to the apps in time.
No, I think they want you to own Kindle hardware.
I think that there's usually a lag when new features hit on the hardware versus when they come out to the apps. They haven't said either way whether this is coming to apps, but in the past when new features have come to Kindle, because if this is a Prime service and not a Kindle hardware service,
right, it is a Prime
then
service.
It should. Yeah, it will
eventually
Prime.
Roll out to the other.
I would assume, but they haven't confirmed.
Hopefully,
that.
So you must have Amazon Prime, not the student discounted one, not the one the family and friends add on. You must be paying the $80 a month.
Oh, because maybe it doesn't count because I get Prime. Through family and friends.
See, I don't think you get, you can't get Prime streaming.
Norm and I are the main vampires.
I seed out my Prime to other people.
Yeah. But those people can't benefit from this.
They get the free
Only
shipping.
You as the master
that's
of Prime.
Right. Okay. The master of Prime.
Okay, well, that's
people in chat are saying they have the $35 Prime and they're getting it.
The student one?
Yeah.
Wes tried it yesterday. He could not get it.
Well, maybe Wes sucks.
Well, he has the student one.
Okay, so
that's a good feature. I've got a bunch of books that I've bought that I just haven't read before I go to the library.
Yeah, literally, Steve Jobs book, Reamde, the IQ84 book, which we'll talk about too because that's interesting. Actually, while we're talking about Kindle stuff, let's talk about that. IQ84 is a Japanese novel. I can't remember what the guy's name is who wrote it.
This is about 1984, the alternate world.
IQ84.
It's about 1984, but it's about 1984. World. Yes.
The upshot is. The book is tied – usually when you buy a Kindle book, you can hook it up to 5 to 7 devices. It's a limit that normal people never, ever hit. I've hit it a couple of times just because I'm kind of always switching back and forth between phones and tablets and Kindles and all sorts of other devices. This book has a limit of one download, one device at a time. And the bad thing – so this is bad for a couple of reasons. One, Amazon doesn't tell you that before you spend $16, $17 on it. It seems to be a limitation set by Knopf. Matt Honan over at Gizmodo wrote this up the other day. He hit the limit first. But I don't know about the way you guys use Kindle, but I'll read on my tablet at home. Then when I'm in the train, I either bust out the hardware Kindle or the phone or whatever, and we'll just download the book, and it picks up where you left off.
Yeah.
So that and if I'm getting my oil changed. Yeah.
That's one of the best things about Kindle.
Whatever I'm reading is on my phone at any given time.
Yeah.
It is one of my favorite things about Kindle.
Yeah. Leah and I both do it. We both have regular Kindles, but we both also have iPhones, and I've got an iPad. And again, depending on the situation, just what's the best thing to grab at that time, it's great to be able to have it across all your devices.
Yeah, it's like a magical book that is always in your pocket.
I'm actually surprised that Amazon isn't putting their foot down more and saying, if you want to be on Kindle, then you have to conform to these, like Microsoft says, you got to hit this, this, and this standard.
Well, so they used to do that, and then all the agency stuff happened earlier this year, where the publisher started setting – because remember, Amazon books always used to be under $10. With textbook exceptions and things like that.
Yeah.
So then the agency stuff happened and the publisher started setting the prices, and you get that little note that says this price was set by the publisher, Random House or whatever.
Right.
And this is the first time I've seen them limit the number of downloads on a book. They did some weird things last year, like that Stephen King book, Under the Dome book that came out last year. Mm-hmm. It came out on hardback first, and then they rolled out the Kindle version 2 weeks later. So they were trying exclusivity windows on paper copies.
I don't see the point of being stingy about that, though, because all these devices are tied to your account. It's not like you're going to be giving your devices away to people so they can read this. This book.
Well, the exception is that in the old days when a Harry Potter book would come out, when Goblet of Fire came out, Gina bought 2 copies of the book because she didn't want to wait for me to finish reading it.
Right.
Which was really funny because, in the time that it took me to read it, she got to the end of the second
I guess in a household, we could just share our device. You could read it on my iPad and
– Yeah, but I'm not going to – the upshot is I think they shouldn't sell the book. If the publisher is going to say, hey, you have these stupid limitations on it.
I agree.
Amazon
ruins experience.
Say,
I agree.
Yeah, right. We have a paper version if you like.
Just like Apple
wouldn't
have
any
of that.
Like Microsoft does with Xbox 360, they got to say, if you want to be on our store, you have to conform to these rules.
Amazon needs to guard that experience because the only reason
– everything's about user experience these days, right? And again, if I don't see that warning, and one of the things I love about Kindle is being able to switch effortlessly between devices. I download this book and then
discover – There is no warning. That's the problem.
Right, and I go, oh, wait, I can't do that with this particular
book.
That makes me worried about everything I buy on the Kindle store. Yeah. How do I know this one is exempt?
That's the fun – the reason I didn't tolerate iTunes DRM because it was dumb and it didn't work on any devices that you didn't buy from Apple.
Mm-hmm.
I tolerate Kindle DRM because they've built a platform that works on not quite every device but every device I'm likely to use, right?
Yeah.
PC, Windows Phone, WebOS, Android, everything, yeah, and whether they make it or not.
Even Cloud Reader is great. Like Leah IM'd me the other day. She was at work and she'd left her Kindle at home.
Yeah.
And she said, "Oh, I really want to read my book, but like for some reason the Kindle app doesn't work on her Mac, like it crashes."
Okay.
And I said, "Well, what about Cloud Reader?
The web viewer."
And Cloud Reader is just as good.
Yeah.
She's like, "Oh, great."
So, in order for people to buy into that kind of DRM, you have to protect their experience, and I think Amazon's really dropped the ball on this.
No, they need to get tougher on that stuff.
I mean, they've dropped the ball. A, that they didn't notify, and B, that they let it happen.
Because they're in a position of power now, as the say, hey, look, we're the number one retailer of ebooks.
But you got to be careful.
You want to be on our platform, so take these conditions or go somewhere else.
Right. You saying they should take their ball and go home?
The only way the publishers are going to be able to dictate terms is where if they're dealing with like mega books, they have like Harry Potter or the Twilight books, the publisher could say, "Well, if you want these books on your platform, you're gonna conform to our terms, not the other way around."
But the Harry Potter books are DRM free; you just buy them from
how long before
boom,
Amazon
there.
Becomes publisher?
Never.
You don't think they're
not their business?
Kindle exclusive book.
Well, they're already trying to be a film studio.
Okay, maybe, but I think that there's no benefit to them trying to. They already are a publisher of self-published books. Like yeah. If you Kindle singles are a
but how long before
right
it become
now?
A high profile? You know, you're talking about Steve Jobs' book sold what 370? The biography sold 370,000
yeah,
copies.
Yeah, just like Netflix is getting into the content right? business, right? Yeah. Why doesn't Amazon
millions
well,
of people on
like
Kindle.
the next Stephen King book? Could
I think
be
they're
published
doing it
from
the ground up. Because the thing is, with movies, you have to fund that stuff in advance. With books, people will just write books, and then it becomes a filtering problem rather than
it's better
a
rev
development
share.
Problem.
Yeah, lower cost.
So if they go through and find the top 0.1% of Kindle singles,
yeah.
and promote those, then that's the way they're going
to
publish.
Yeah, I would like to see that happen.
The other thing, the interesting thing about this is, I haven't looked at ebook piracy in ages, so I went to the Pirate Bay to see if the book in question was available there and in Kindle approved formats and all that. And of course, it was there. It's like a 4 meg file. So the mistake that the publishers are making is giving people a reason to look at stripping DRM and pirating ebooks.
Again, the only
which
way
is super
you're
bad
you're
news
never going to beat piracy by appealing to people's morality. You're never going to do it by trying to make them feel guilty. The only way you're going to do it is by making the legit option preferable.
Right.
It's the only
easy
way you can win.
And valuable.
Yeah. Everything Gabe Newell said.
Yeah. Yeah. Gabe Newell's a smart dude.
It was his birthday yesterday.
Oh, happy
he probably
birthday,
heard
Gabe
me
Newell.
Say it. That's why.
He gave out Dota public keys on his birthday.
Oh. Good for Gabe.
Is he on Twitter or something? Or is he just like going, running through a mall, throwing out keys like Homer's candy short store?
Don't know.
Last piece of Kindle news. I think we might have actually covered it. There were three pieces of Kindle news this week. That IQ84 thing.
Apparently that's
library.
Been debunked.
Oh, now. San Francisco Public Library now works with Kindle books. You can check out Kindle
eBooks. Fantastic.
E-books.
I'm going to use that.
Yeah, I haven't tried it out yet, but because I don't
have
a library
anymore. I've still got all the Game of Thrones books to read. They're
just
extending
skip those. Dude, I'm going to tell you right now.
No, I like
them.
Read
the first one and walk away.
No, I'm already almost done with the second.
Then finish the second one and walk away.
Why? Do they not get better?
Runs right off a fucking cliff.
Maybe I should just watch the TV show.
There's so much bullshit in there that doesn't matter at all and is just tedious. It's just boring.
Okay, maybe I'll just skip back to King Killer and start read the second King Killer
yeah,
book.
Yeah, read the second King Killer book is wonderful. I actually would like to see like a fan edit of the Ice and Fire books where it's just shit you care about and they cut out all the nonsense.
Yeah, Leah's already saying it in the second book. She's like, there's a lot of chapters here that I'm just not interested in.
Well, in the third book, just gets retarded. Like,
okay.
Full on.
All right.
Yeah.
I think you've released me from the art because it was kind of depressing. Like, as much as I enjoy reading those books, I'm like, God, I've got to read five more of these before I can consider reading something else. I kind of want to read other things.
Well, that's I got so
I feel like
behind.
I've been liberated.
I sat down and I read the first three back to back, which is soul damaging because it's just like you wake up and you dream about dragons and shit.
Yeah.
Then I took a break and then I read the last two. And I'm behind on the Steve Jobs thing. I haven't read Reamde yet. It's
what's Reamde?
Reamde is the Neil Stephenson book.
Okay.
And it started out unbelievable, and then I walked. Yeah, I put it down to read the Steve Jobs book, which also is unbelievable. We'll talk about that in what we're talking.
Neil Stephenson commented in a Google Plus thread that I
you
made.
Mentioned that last week too.
He told me it was a fun story though. I liked his little anecdote that he told about Tom and Jerry.
Can we talk about Tom and Jerry for a sec?
You live a whimsical life. Tom and Jerry. Neil Stephenson talking to Tom and Jerry on Google
Plus. What could be better?
I went on Saturday, I was like, I want to watch some fucking Tom and Jerry after we talked about this. So I went
to that Blu-ray is fantastic.
Well, I just went to the Apple. I went to the iTunes store and just bought $12 worth of Tom and Jerry collection.
Okay.
Which was not the best experience, it turns out.
Well, that Blu-ray's, I think you can get that for like $20, and it's got 37 of the best Tom and Jerry cartoons.
It was super duper racist. Like on third episode, the mouse is in blackface.
It's pretty racist. But again, this is what that Google Plus thread was about. I applaud Warner Brothers, who put out this new release, for not changing any of that stuff. Well, they put up a disclaimer and said, look, this is how it was back then. We're not saying it's right. But, you know, their argument was right, is that by changing it, we'd be pretending that these attitudes never existed.
No, I have the tin box set of Disney war propaganda stuff, and it's great to watch.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the most – if you've ever been to the Walt Disney Family Museum in the Presidio in San Francisco, they have a whole section devoted to the war years where Disney basically –
Racist Mickey?
Disney – no, well, it's not so much – well, there are elements of that. But it's interesting that Disney basically turned the whole –
animation
studio over to creating World War II propaganda
films. Well,
that
happened in the movie studios in general, right?
Yeah, and you know, he did everything at cost. They didn't make any profit, and it's the only time you can ever see any kind of vaguely pornographic Disney characters because, you know, were done to appeal to the GIs, you know, like busty Disney chicks and stuff. Like
Rabbit?
You know how, like, you know, kind of Memphis Belle and, like, the kind of the hot chicks that were, like, painted on the front of B-52 bombers
like
and stuff?
Like a sassy Minnie Mouse?
Disney did a bunch of those. They also did, like, a bunch of hygiene films, you know, like Donald Duck teaches you how to brush your teeth and stuff like that.
Only sailors
but there is also, like, you know, Japs under the bed type stuff.
Put
as
a hat
well.
On it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
iOS 5 patch coming soon. It's out on for developers right now. 5.0.
So is this the patch that fixes the battery problems?
Yeah, so the battery problems, I've been talking to a bunch of people about the battery problems and actually tried to replicate them because a couple of our users have had that problem.
To be clear, the battery problems aren't just for the iPhone 4S. They're iOS 5.
It's 3GS. It seems like it affects 3GS 4 and 4S.
4S. Yeah. I have not experienced these problems. So
I haven't. I've had tremendous battery life on this phone.
Yeah, I didn't charge my phone last night. And it was at 70%.
But people
morning.
On the Apple forums have been bitching, and it's legitimate. Yeah. It's a legitimate complaint.
A lot of people are complaining, and it's good to see Apple have acknowledged it, and hopefully this patch will fix it. I had a weird problem last night where I was streaming Sirius Radio off the phone because I was kind of tidying up the house and I wanted to listen to Howard Stern.
So you're using like a transistor radio, basically.
Look at that ice cream sandwich of a phone.
Just like a transistor radio. The Sirius has a great app that comes with your subscription. And, you know, I dialed up some Howard Stern. And also the great thing about the 4S is because the speaker is much, much louder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is as good as a regular
radio.
It's
much louder in general.
You don't have to worry about plugging it into external speakers or anything. Especially for the radio, it's just fine. And I would listen to the Wi-Fi. It was streaming over Wi-Fi for like an hour and a half. And I'm like, I wonder what this has done to my battery. And it was on 97%. I was like, that can't be right. And a couple more hours, it was still on 97.
No.
So there's a bug. There was a bug on mine.
Different bug.
I reset the phone and it fixed itself. But yeah, there was a
infinite power.
Yeah. So well, that was the thing. Either
it just kept
getting
hotter and hotter.
I felt
right?
like either I had a perpetual motion iPhone.
Yeah. I've cracked it.
Well, yes. So the battery life thing. I've talked to a bunch of people who've had this problem.
Yes.
And even like went so far as to install the apps that they thought were causing because it seems like it's a software problem.
Well, you can run the app monitoring, the system monitoring app, so you know what processes are running in the background.
But it seems like it's tied to notifications, and something gets stuck in a notification loop. And it is a loop.
Definitely it is a loop, a crash loop.
Yeah.
Occasionally contact syncing has been the culprit.
Yes.
Notifications, Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, basically all over the place. The common thread for all these people is that many of them restored 4S from a 4 backup.
Right. So that is the important thing here is the thing that literally the Apple Store people have been telling me for a month. Do not restore your old phone back up to a new phone. Just start from scratch.
Start from scratch and sync from iCloud your contacts.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Yeah.
So speaking of which.
Or sync from Google Docs or something. Oh, yeah. Hey, Norm. This is interesting iPhone news. If you were on AT&T and your upgrade date was the end of November, that changed.
Which is if you
much
bought,
like Norm.
So if you bought an iPhone 4 day one.
And our one phone, one line, one data plan.
And our, yes, and our single user plus also you pay X, you know, instead of 2 years, it's now 18 months. If you pay over, I think, $80 a month, it would have been end of November. Jeff and I were in the same boat.
Mm-hmm.
But last night, apparently, AT&T bumped up the subsidy date.
How did you find out that?
We'll find out.
And why would AT&T make such a consumer-friendly move?
Probably because iPhone 4S sales have started slowing down and they wanted to...
and then before people would even consider switching over to Verizon.
Well, yeah. So it's and also, yeah, they're in the mix against other carriers now. They don't have that exclusivity lock-in.
Well, it's a good way for them to gate demand early on, too.
Yes.
So if they want to make sure that they have enough phones for new customers.
If you want to check, you can just call on your phone. I believe it is *639#.
Okay.
Is the number. It doesn't actually save in your call
list. It'll tell you what your date
and
is.
AT&T will send you a text message. It won't charge you for that text message. And it will say whether you are eligible now for the upgrade or when the date
is. So you went on and checked and found out you were eligible.
I checked last night and it said you are eligible.
It's wonderful.
And then I immediately went because you have to reserve. You can reserve an iPhone at the on the Apple Store.
Did you
store.
Do that?
If you reserve it, yeah. So 9 p.m. is when it starts.
Yeah. For the next day.
For the next day.
Right.
By 10 p.m. for downtown San Francisco, all gone except AT&T 32 gigabytes models. Black
interesting, because you think that would be one of the more popular. The AT&T ones have generally been the first ones
to go. I think AT&T 32 gig, black or white, or black probably is the most popular model. That's probably the one they made the most of.
No, white has got to be the most popular, because every store that we went to when we were trying to find one for Leah, they said, we're all out of white, but we have black if you want it.
So talking to the guys here at the store, they've and looking at the counter, way more whites than blacks in stock.
Huh.
iPhone, 4Ss, and... And also, the guy said they've sold, from his experience, they've sold more black iPhone 4Ss.
Okay.
Damn right. So you went with the white.
So,
was that
Gary.
So here's the reveal.
The moment we've all been waiting for.
I saw it through the bag.
Norm walks up and is like, hey, guess which iPhone I got? You don't know. And I was like, dude, it's the white one. I can see it right through the bag. It's transparent.
Thank you for blowing the reveal. Well done. What a fucking showman you are.
Hey,
no wonder you host this podcast.
It's an audio
you really know how to build up to
the
a big reveal.
The worst thing ever is to do unboxings and nonsense, period.
Some people are watching
But you can at least make a dramatic reveal out of it as of just blurting it out like the way that you... Norm's obviously building up to something.
Norm got the racist phone. You and I are on the same team. You should be on my team for this, Gary.
That was shockingly poor.
I'm sorry,
broadcasting
I wasn't even paying attention.
Discipline.
What are we talking about? Are we done with this segment yet? Because I'm bored.
Also, when I was over at...
Well, I'm bored now because you blamed the whole fucking deal.
Thanks a lot, Will. When I was over at your place on the weekend playing board games, I was talking to Leah and she was saying how... she has the white phone.
She did get the white phone.
And she's saying that you have... She called out your iPhone envy.
Well, but I don't have it anymore.
Oh, you don't
have it
anymore?
I'm completely and utterly over it. Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
I'm actually very glad. So I'm very glad that I stuck with the black and didn't make a rash exchange. So you are the odd man out. With the white phone.
Yeah, unique. I'm unique.
That's what the weird person always says.
You're a unique snowflake.
Beautiful,
so what do you get, AT&T 32?
AT&T 32.
Okay.
Which was all they had that I could reserve.
Right. Well, that worked out great.
Could you have chosen?
So you did have a choice of white and black.
I did have a choice.
Okay. Yes. And you chose what? So to explain, tell
Michael
us about
Jackson
your choice.
Knows what's up.
Why did you choose
doesn't
white?
Doesn't matter if it's black or white.
I like the back of it. It's the pearl back. It is
very attractive.
I haven't actually handled a white iPhone.
Plus, I made some iPhone wallpapers last night from this website we can talk about in outtakes.
So what you mean is that you took other pictures that people had made and then resized them to be the
And also
size.
Changed the contrast and sharpness.
Okay.
Yes. So I tweaked it to make and
sounds like fair.
Are they meant to be appropriate for the white bezel?
Yes, would you open the fucking phone already? I want to see what it looks like.
They complement the white. With orange and white are a good compliment. Orange and black also look good, but...
Open the phone. Okay. I want to see the pearlescent back.
We can continue talking.
I've kind of come to feel now that I've had a because Leah's is always kind of laying around in the house now. And sometimes I pick it up and kind of look at it. And like, it feels a bit cheap and plasticky, the look of the white.
Tawdry is what I thought is the word I would have used.
The thing I always forget.
I would have been happy with either, but I'm glad now that I got past my initial buyer's remorse about not. Because I do this every time. It's like, if I'd have got the white, I'd be fretting about
you
the black.
You don't say.
Every single time.
Yeah,
but I have now.
You do this about every major purchase.
I have now
just
emerged.
To be clear.
I have emerged. Yeah, I mean.
Should I have got an ATI card or an NVIDIA card?
If they had done multiple colors, I'd be in the loony bin by now.
Oh, yeah. Right. Are you over not being able to buy the McFly shoes, the Nike shoes?
Yeah, I've completely forgotten about them.
Yeah, exactly.
Once the initial wave recedes, it's all good.
Of what?
Remember the Back to the Future shoes?
Oh, yeah.
They were crazy expensive.
No, it's been long over.
So the lesson is if you wait like 3 days, then your urge to purchase fades.
Now,
that is true with all consumerism.
So explain to me, what was the main reason you chose white over black?
I wanted to mix it up.
Does anybody
care?
I
like the back.
What does that mean, mix it up?
I've had the four.
Do you want this to feel like a different phone?
Yeah, exactly.
That was the main reason for me as well, because they didn't change the external design at all. That I kind of felt like if I got a white one, I'd feel like I've got a different
phone.
Also,
they tried to screw me on the text plan because I have the $15 a month, 1500 text plan.
AT&T will try to screw you.
And on the website, when I was registering for a phone in the store, that option was not there.
Because it's not there anymore.
And it's not. It's like you pay per text.
You have either unlimited, but you don't want that either. Either way, they fuck you.
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't have either of these. I want to be grandfathered
in. Let me tell you something. But I actually was very, very close because you know I had switcher's anxiety at the last minute. When I first went on the website to pre-order my phone, I actually went through the AT&T service first. Mm. And then when I got to the text site, text page, and it said my text plan's not available, you either have to pay through the nose per text or pay for unlimited, which with iMessage you're not going to want anyway.
Exactly.
I'm like, fuck you, AT&T, and I started over and got a Verizon phone. Best decision I ever made.
Well, no, but the guy at the store, when he said, oh, that's happened before. So on his store iPhone where I made the purchase, I could go through the whole process and pick my plan. Right. Also, I fucking ate an egg for this, all right? If I'm going to eat the hard-boiled egg.
Yeah, on the
what was the
show?
Egg?
The it said, I will not buy an iPhone 5 or iPhone this year or something.
iPhone 4S?
Well, we didn't know it was the 4S.
Yeah, so why did you even go with the 4S? Why not save the eligibility and get the 5?
Again,
the
it was also because I'm paying $95 a month for a phone plan. If I'm eligible for a subsidy and I don't take advantage of that, it's giving AT&T more money.
Look, it is very attractive, the white phone. Look at that.
It is quite beautiful. What's going to make you sad?
You may select equipment at our full retail pricing. An upgrade will be available 5/8/2013.
Yeah,
5/8. Well,
yeah, that's what my one says because I got a brand new contract.
5/8/2013. Yeah. So that's
I'm gonna have to pay
two years
when the iPhone 5 comes out. I'm gonna have to pay
through
the
nose.
That's
more than 2 years. How is that more?
No, it's not more. No, it's 18 months.
A year and 18 months. Okay, 18 months.
It's November now.
All right.
Yeah, when the iPhone 5 comes out, I'm gonna have to pay through the nose for it because I'm not gonna be anything close to eligible.
I'm gonna quickly set it up because I want to.
Did you do an iCloud backup?
Because
you
can get the whole thing running right now. I backed it this morning. I updated iTunes. Oh, so we were talking about the battery bug in iOS, and there's a new iTunes beta for
10.5.2
for developers. Yeah. Is iTunes Match on that?
It's been on all of them.
Because iTunes Match has not been released to the public yet. They said end of October. It is November now.
Yeah, the beta has
Match. What's the deal?
They turned it off about 4 days ago on like the 27th, so last week sometime.
I think we could expect it probably any day.
I would say at any moment they're going to flip it on. It popped up on Apple TV last night. So if you have an Apple TV with the latest update, you can turn on iTunes Match if you are a developer or have associated that with your account.
Smells like factory worker in China.
Get that new car smell.
You know, I can't wait till they do a How It's Made for iPhone. Like,
never happen.
Oh. Yeah, they're not going to do that.
I was watching, what was it, like Amazing Factories, the Discovery Channel show, or National Geographic Channel show, and they had one for like BMW cars. It's amazing. I love these shows.
You know what else is back on TV? New episodes of Extreme Couponing.
I saw you tweet that.
Yeah,
and I watched like 10 minutes of it, and I said, fuck this, I'm watching Daily Show.
I can't watch it because every episode is the same.
Yeah.
They get a bunch of coupons. They buy a ridiculous amount of shopping.
It's fake
they
drama,
go through the
too.
Checkout. At one point, the checkout machine's going to crash because there's too many items going through it. The manager comes out and fixes it, and they end up getting these insane deals. It's every episode's the same. Let me look at that real quick. It is attractive.
What does the back look like?
Looks like
you
pearl.
Said it's pearlescent.
It's kind of beautiful.
It's glass,
I like it. I equate it to
a pearl color.
Oh my god! I don't know, man.
I have 30 days to change.
It looks like it's painted. Yeah. Oh, so I could go change my mind now too.
I could go change mine too.
I might go change mine to white just so that Norm and I are the same twinsies.
Do it.
trolling Chan. Google TV Honeycomb's out. For Sony TV and Sony, the Sony Google TV box coming to review soon. We don't have. I returned the Sony box because it was so shitty when we reviewed it. I went and bought it at Best Buy and then took it back.
Yeah, really,
because it was $300 and really bad.
So is this made it better?
I don't know. I have no hands on time yet.
Okay.
Oh, hold on. I forgot two important things about the iOS 5 patch notes. They are returning the multi-touch gestures to iPad 1.
Yes,
that is a good thing.
Yes,
and improved Australian diction for Siri.
Why is that important?
I don't know. I thought it was a funny.
I guess it's important to Australians.
Yeah, those guys are really stoked. All the guys in Kent.
I still wish that I could have the iPhone understand me as a British person, because my accent is still. I know my accent's kind of fucked up these days.
Kind of a tweener accent.
It's still more British than anything else. But Siri sometimes has a hard time understanding me. And I could switch over to British, but then I'd have to deal with the British butler voice that I don't actually like.
Yeah, I want my computer to talk like a lady.
Yeah.
So in
Google
terms
TV
of the
honeycomb.
No, hold on. Okay. Stuff with the iPad getting multi-touch back. There's actually a really interesting post that a UI designer, I think it was a UI designer, wrote about multi-touch on the iPad, the four-finger swipe for between apps.
Yeah.
And complaining that basically it's not a good implementation of that. First of all, it's not communicated very well. If you have an iPad and you upgrade it to iOS 5, you don't know about that. You're going to accidentally
There's
get
so
that.
Much about iOS 5 you're not going to know if you don't read websites.
Yeah, and sure, you can claim that, you're discovering new things about the product every time you use it.
No, you're just going to be sitting there going,
terrible.
What the fuck just happened?
Yeah, it happens on the PC all the time, too. Like, even with the gestures on a Mac OS, OS 10, and with Chrome, like, they change the new page so frequently. Like, I didn't know that you can go from most visited to apps now on Chrome. But anyway, that's poorly communicated. But also, multi-touch gestures on the iPad, the criticism was that they should be bezel gestures. It makes more sense to do edge swiping.
I don't like bezel gestures.
Well, no, not gestures on the bezel.
I understand.
Like the rim.
The bezel is for holding, not for gesturing.
But you're not using the bezel. I mean, like I said, not like the BlackBerry Playbook where you use the bezel and tap from it, but edge gestures. So
yeah,
you're
like
going
pulling, like
from,
bringing down notifications.
Oh, right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Why isn't switching between apps like that?
Well, pulling down notifications is not a particularly good gesture either. Like, they messed that up. It breaks a bunch of games.
Oh, I don't know if about that, but
like the fact that you
bringing down.
I like
thing,
the idea, but
that four fingers swipe left and right is switching apps on.
I think it's three fingers.
I think it's four.
Maybe it's four. It doesn't matter.
Three or four on iPad takes that away from any other app, the ability to use that gesture.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. The problem I have with iOS 5 is that they are not exposing new features very well to users, and they don't explain things very well. Like, it is. There's a lot of new features. It's really good in a lot of regards. It is super duper confusing. There's shit in there that, like, people still don't understand. You can double tap the home button to multitask.
Yeah, I know. Apple used to do when the iPhone first came out. They had these great videos. Remember, hi, I'm working on Apple retail stores, and I'm going to show you the idiot's guide to how to use all these features. They don't do those
anymore.
There's
too many to do. There'd be 45 hours of video at this point. I mean, it's a natural cost of it becoming more complex. But you know, even. Like, you know how when they added the ability to make folders and drag icons, they added that thing that pops up the very first time you run the OS that says, hey, to move these, you tap and hold.
Yeah.
If you okay right through that because you're trained to just mash okay on everything, you're completely fucked. You're never going to know that's a thing unless somebody tells you or shows you. So, like, they have to work. It's something that they have to work on. I'm glad they don't do a whole bunch of learn to use your iPhone videos at the start of right after you install it, because that's super lame. But there's got to be a better way to do it, and it's a very un-Apple-y experience right now.
Mm.
So Honeycomb's coming soon for the Google TV boxes. I'm super interested to see what they've done with that. Apparently, they've completely redone it. They acknowledged that they fucked that up beyond all recognition.
I mean, they have to really take a whole mulligan on this, right? Because the initial launch of Google TV has really been a
mulligan implies no penalties, but, you know. Yeah, it is a situation I bet they wish they could take a mulligan.
Yeah. And I think that's what they're going to try to do, is try to pretend that the first shot, whiffed shot, didn't happen.
It was just a wasted opportunity. Now is the right time. It's been a year.
Yeah.
It has been
almost a year.
Almost a year, because at CES this year was when all the Google TV stuff was at, you know, the Logitech booth, and Google told its partners, don't show it off.
Don't launch anything.
Don't have banners. Right. Take down your kiosk. Hopefully they'll have more this year. It doesn't seem to be that big of a change. It's not.
I'm interested in what the app architecture is.
But
like,
you can also do Plex on Google TV now.
Oh, really?
That was just
so it's an app that you can install?
I think it's an app.
Okay, that's cool. So it's like the LG thing that they're doing. That makes it much more interesting to me immediately. The Real Tale. Well, wait, hold on. Some more Google stuff. Gmail for iOS came out this week and then was immediately pulled because there was a bug with the notifications. So did any of you guys download that or no? Like, it went up and went away so fast I didn't even see it.
By the time that I saw that it was very imminent, and then I saw the story saying any day now, and then the next day, basically by the time I saw that it was out, it was a story saying, yeah, it's out and it's been pulled.
It was
already.
Up for a few hours, basically, yeah.
Kind of an embarrassment for Google and Apple, right? But how was this allowed to ship in that? I mean, it's an obvious app-killing bug.
What was the problem?
The second you start it.
What was the bug?
It crashes on startup.
Well, that sounds bad.
Yeah.
Wait, your Gmail?
Yeah.
It worked for me.
I don't
Did
even
you install it?
Yeah, I have it now.
I don't even understand why people need it.
You really don't pay attention to me at all, do you?
No, absolutely.
What
not.
Is the point of it? It basically appears to be almost exactly
like
web app.
No, well, no,
it's
there's
a web app with notifications.
And there's the menu, the side menu, which is like, oh, show you, like the Facebook app. So it has a side menu.
Yeah.
Which is that seems to be a new thing now.
Well, so Sparrow is also working on an iPhone app.
I'm just perfectly happy with my native mail app. It does everything I want.
Well, search is better. Yeah. Search and also folder management. So on mail app, if you have a ton of Gmail folders, it is
One folder for
Gmail. I have a ton of Gmail folders.
Well, tags.
Yes.
I mean, the problem is if you use tags, the native mail app is really bad. Because it doesn't – you can't – it's hard to search stuff.
Why all my emails just in one big box?
What I'm explaining to you is that for people who use mail in a different way than you, they may find it more useful.
I have no interest in their concerns.
It's good. Man of the people, Gary Whitta. Sparrow, the OS X native – Gmail native client is also coming to iOS soon. Mm. They're working on a version for that.
Good.
Other thing is that both Gmail and Google Reader got new designs this week.
Yep.
Norm, I know you use Google Reader, right?
No, I don't use Google Reader. I don't use RSS at all. I use Instapaper and that's it.
Okay.
I use actual tabs. I like tabs.
I used to use Google Reader and then stopped because I just started using Twitter and reading the four pages that I'd like to read every day.
Yeah, did the backup restore already?
I got all my contacts.
Okay, congratulations.
You have all your apps?
This is fantastic radio, guys. Can we talk about Norm's new phone some more?
Gorgeous.
I'm sure you'll be very happy together.
We only have an hour and change left in this show.
Oh, that's
it's not
right.
Like
we're
October
we're
cast.
Time
we have
let's
a lot
go,
of
go,
shit
let's
to
go.
Do.
Move along.
The Google Reader thing is a huge controversy because they've made it very tall. So there's a bunch of like white space UI stuff. So that if you load it up on your MacBook Air, because if you load it up on a MacBook Air, essentially there's like a third of the screen for reader feeds and the rest of it's UI. So they've kind of fucked up laptop use.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's real gnarly. People are revolting. The guys who sell Reader are really excited because that apparently has been selling really well the last couple of days, which is a Google Reader native client for using that service in a desktop app. I think they're going to have to change something after using it. It's great on my 30-inch monitor. It's terrible on a laptop. That's what I would say.
How does Gmail look different?
It's just the new – it's the new design. Hold on. I have it open here somewhere. Maybe not. It's everything's flatter, basically. It's flatter. There's a high resolution background. So you've been able to preview this for a while. It's not.
Yeah.
It's not
again, brand. I don't use the web client for Gmail. So.
Oh, you use mail.app for Gmail?
Yeah, just use regular mail.
Okay. The Courier story. Did you guys? I know you read this, Norm.
Yes.
Did you read this, Gary?
No.
So CNET posted one of the CNET bloggers had done a lot of investigation and talked to a ton of internal Microsoft people, external.
Oh, that courier.
People who used to be at Microsoft, about like what happened. Mm-hmm. It's a fascinating, fascinating story. Definitely worth reading. We had a link to it on the homepage the other day. Basically, it seems like Ballmer didn't know what to do with it. The TLDR for this story, because it was a long two-part story.
Yeah, always give me that version.
The TLDR is – Ballmer didn't know what the fuck to do with it.
Well, there are two competing tablet teams, right? So this is before iPad was out. Jay Allard was working on the Courier with his
with the intention of making it a content creation device, like a tool for people who make things.
And they didn't. The point was, it had no mail app. It wasn't about content consumption. No mail app. Think about that. Just like BlackBerry Playbook, right? But that was intentional because they want to focus on. User input.
Well, they explicitly said if somebody's buying this, they're already going to have a smartphone. They don't need mail in two places.
Yeah, it makes sense. But there are two competing tablet projects. One was Sanofsky's Windows 8 project.
That is bullshit, though. If I'm sitting on the couch looking at my iPad and I want to check my mail, I don't have to pick my phone up.
It wasn't going
to
be an iPad.
That's not the topic.
It wasn't going
to
be
an iPad. I agree with you. It's dumb not to have mail because the big screen is always better for doing that stuff.
Okay.
Move along.
And then so Ballmer, because basically Sanofsky and Allard were – big stars were big stars for Allard at Microsoft, took it to Gates, and Jay Allard sat down, had a meeting with Gates, and Gates again poked, like he traditionally does, poked at all the holes in the project.
Finds all the things that are wrong with it,
including no mail app, and then gave his recommendation to Ballmer, and Ballmer cut the project. That's the short story.
Okay.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound that.
Gates said, "Hey, how does this connect to Exchange?" And Ballmer said, "It doesn't." And Gates was like, "This is fucking dumb."
Because their business is Office and Windows.
Right.
That's where they make money.
Yeah.
The the article's worth reading just for the insights into what that was going to be. What the interesting thing, I mean, that I don't know that they could have accomplished what they were trying to do.
You're talking about hundreds of people, at least 100 people, I think 130, yeah, working on Courier with various mock-ups. Nothing that looked like the renders that Gizmodo had.
Yeah.
But they were close. I mean, the final
The thing that looked like a two-page book.
Yeah,
right?
that was the render. Yeah.
Okay.
And the intention was to make a digital Moleskine that was like that let you do that kind of sketching and drawing and note-taking, and then with all the benefits of having it digital, like the fact that you can organize it differently and, you know, OCR and, you know, share and all that kind of stuff. It's a really neat idea. I hope somebody takes that and runs with it.
Well, they actually went to Moleskine and talked and wanted to get it almost like Moleskine branded. Like, wants to help people use their Moleskine sketches. And actually, this ties back to the Steve Jobs story. He did most of his brainstorming in Moleskine, a notebook, writing. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. He didn't do it on an iPad.
With paper.
He jotted on napkins and in notebooks. That's where he came up with his ideas. So basically, they wanted people, creatives, to use the Courier for that. Who knows? We haven't seen any pen input for Windows 8 tablets, right? Is that right, Will?
No, the Windows 8 tablet had a stylus. The digitizer is not – on that one, the digitizer wasn't high enough resolution to do what I would want to do with it. What you can do with a ballpoint pen and a Moleskine.
A friend of mine I had lunch with recently showed me an HTC 7-inch tablet that had a stylus.
Yeah.
It was called the View. There's something View.
Oh, right.
And that's the version of the flyer,
and it worked perfectly well as a digital sketchbook, annotations, notes. The stylus response was really good.
I haven't actually used that one. Every other time I've used a digitizer with a stylus, the resolution on the digitizer is low enough that you get kind of chunky alias text.
No, so this
you can't
didn't look
actually
that way.
Write small. Like, but you can't write as small as you would on a normal piece of paper with a fine point pen.
Right.
Like that's the Retina display of that.
That's what
of
you
that
need.
Product. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you need something that gives you.
It needs to be as sharp and as responsive as really writing with a real pen. When we get there, these devices will take off, but not until.
And with a fine point pen, not like a big fat marker or something like that. Because what you end up getting is a big fat marker. And,
we want precious sensitivity. You need super, super pixel density to pull that off.
Yeah. Well, or digitizer resolution. Yeah. Let's see. What else have we got?
Is that it for the Courier store? Oh, what I actually – what I like –
the book.
The book, yeah. So when they shut down the project and actually shut down that studio that JLR was running.
The Tribe.
Right.
His tribe.
Well, tribe's his group, sure. When he quit, and Robbie Bach also quit. Not related.
Quit is a novel. It's an interesting
left,
way
departed
that.
From Microsoft. They released like a commemorative, internal book commemorating all the project, the Courier project.
Well, there's two books. Because there's the design guidelines book for, what is it? Not Altimeter. I can't remember what the name of the group is. But basically, Allard had a book of design guidelines and rules for the way you make products that are for people, for like the here is what we believe is good design in book form that is only distributed internally at Microsoft.
Okay.
And then there was also, after this thing was shut down, like, this is insane to me, this book, the commemorative book. So tell explain this.
It is a basically a list of not only all the people that worked on it, but basically the project in book form, so that nothing would go and be deleted.
Never forget.
Yeah. It was like their commemorative, here's our not failed project, but shut down project.
Right.
I would love to see that book.
Yes, I would too.
It says a lot about Microsoft that something like the Courier, which seems quite interesting, gets killed, but something like the Kin, which is just sort of a complete fucking joke, gets all the way to market.
Well, Microsoft has a pretty good history of this. You know, the reason that the first generation of Windows tablets bombed is because whoever was in charge of Office at the time didn't want to support pen and tablet in Office. So why if Office is why you use a Windows computer in a business environment where you're buying an $1,800 tablet PC, why are you going to buy that if it isn't actually supported and integrated with Word and Excel and OneNote and all that stuff?
Yeah.
So I mean, internal corporate infighting has long been a thing at Microsoft, it seems like. Let's see. AT&T rolls out LTE phones. A couple of LTE phones are out. A very limited market.
Actual, real LTE, not this quasi-faux G that they claim.
Samsung Galaxy 2 variant LTE.
Okay, that's interesting.
Which I'm glad, is, I mean, I'm glad it, that it's the same form factor.
I'm glad that they're building an LTE network.
It's awesome that they just released the Samsung Galaxy 2 a month ago, and they've already spun another version that supports their new
network. I don't think people are going to buy the LTE. People who are happy with – I mean, with the current one are going
to – I love it. I love LTE. Having played around with one of those hotspots, it's one of the things
–
I'm now jealous for Android people that have LTE on their phones today. Yeah. I was actually thinking about duct taping an LTE MiFi to my phone and going, 4G iPhone – but it wouldn't really be the same.
That would be pretty dumb.
Yeah.
The petition – I don't want to talk about that. The Siri data usage, Jackie Cheng at ours did a really interesting thing about data usage for Siri because, you know, it has to be connected to the internet to work.
Yeah.
I think people didn't really realize that. And it uses a interesting amount of data per
very query. Little.
Yeah, like 37 kilobytes
per when you're. I mean, it uses a different amount of data when you're sending different when you're requesting different things of Siri.
Yeah,
but the upshot is that it's not going to affect your data usage overall.
Apparently, it's been proven now that Siri does work perfectly well on an iPhone 4, and it's kind of proving what everyone already suspected was that
yeah, artificial limitation.
Apple kind of created a fake exclusivity
you don't
for the 4S.
Say.
Yep.
And I think you're going to see it on the iPad 3 now as well. Do you see this rumor that the iPad 3 is in production?
I think we had that last week.
Yeah,
even.
Yeah, there's that rumor going around. I mean, and the iPad 3 will have Siri as well. And even though the iPad 2 is perfectly capable of running Siri, it won't get it. It may get it way down the road, like
Apple,
a generation later.
If Apple
was needs a better mic,
like iOS 6 may add Siri to the iPhone 4 and the iPad 2.
If Apple
like that.
Was if Apple was clever, what they'd do is put Siri in the App Store for $30 and just sell it that way.
They could do that,
right? I mean, you pay and authorize it to use your phone. I mean, that
I know, but then don't you cannibalize your 4S sales?
I don't know.
By extending the life of the 4?
Maybe. Why not? I'm talking about for iPad 2. I would buy
for iPad.
iPad.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
It may be that iPad 2 doesn't have the right mic to work because it does need the dual mics, I think, to get the so it can work in the car and stuff like that.
What dual mics?
The iPhone has dual mics. One picks up room noise and cancels that out, and one picks up.
Oh,
noise.
I didn't know that. Yeah. That's cool.
I'm going down. Sorry. Part of listener's choice is that we filter out some stuff. Internet Explorer usage drops below 50%.
Thank God. We'll be living with it for a long time. It's funny, isn't it? Like, I don't know a single person that uses Internet Explorer, and yet it's out there.
It's for people who just use the software that comes with the computer.
Yeah. Not the techerati elite like us.
IE9 is not bad, or IE10 is not bad. I mean, IE9 was bad, was good. IE10 is not bad.
No interest in it.
What about the Apple buying C3 Technologies, that 3D map company?
That 3D mapping looked amazing.
Does that imply turn by turns coming to iOS in the future?
Yes, it's got to be.
Sure. I think it'll be more for iPad first because on the small screen. Well, Nokia, the Ovi stuff, Ovi uses the same C3 technology.
You mean Nokia Drive?
You can demo it today.
I think you're going to see iOS. One of the big component features of iOS 6 and the next iPhone is going to be Apple's own very robust turn-by-turn 3D traffic navigation system.
Well, that's the big gap. Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things that they're missing.
Yeah.
Do we want to talk about the NASA tractor beam thing? Did you guys read that?
NASA's making tractor beam. No space shuttles, but tractor beam.
Tractor beam.
All right. I like future stuff.
But how does it work?
I don't know.
Magnets? Tractor beams? I don't know. Fucking tractor beams. How do they work?
I don't know, man. I guess that's it for news. I'm going to... Oh, a couple things if you're watching, if you're on the internet today, if you're listening live. Go load up Chrome. Go to Google. Search for do a barrel roll, no quotes. Spaces. That's fucking awesome.
Doesn't even have to be Chrome.
No, it only worked in Chrome. And
I only use Safari and it worked
for
me.
Well, Safari's WebKit too. So it works in WebKit browsers. Yeah. Didn't work in Firefox. Didn't work in IE. Also Tilt, if you search for Tilt
and there's a couple of others as well.
Yeah, they're doing HTML5 canvas stuff. Tilt looked really bad. The text got
everything was really
janky
and
terrible.
Yeah. But do a barrel roll did blow my mind when I first did it.
Should we talk about the future video stuff, Norm?
Yes, I want to talk about this.
Okay.
So you guys all watched the Microsoft video that they released, Productivity in the Future?
Yeah.
I don't care about productivity in the future.
Well, Microsoft is fantastic at doing these theoretical videos about what kind of products we're going to use in the future. They're just crap at actually creating those products.
That's what everyone's saying. Sure. And Gruber did a long post about the type of companies that produce these futuristic videos. Microsoft actually released another one for the Kinect. And again, they had the fine print. These are, you know, possible uses of the Kinect. You know,
right.
As if someone's going to play a cello with the Kinect, right?
Right.
Just imagine.
Because we all know how great Wii Music was. Everybody loved that product.
Exactly. Kinect resolution today is not going to let us do that. Have you seen the Apple video?
I didn't know Apple had one.
Ah, Apple had one in 1987. It was called Knowledge Navigator.
Okay.
And it basically...
That's a terrible
thing. Oh, no, I know. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's the professor who talks to his tablet.
Yeah, it was Siri.
It was Siri.
Right.
And Siri?
You got to drop that.
I'm going to keep going.
It's not good.
I know.
It's just...
That's why I got to keep doing it.
It makes no sense.
Never let go.
It's not funny.
Never let go.
It's becoming quite irritating.
Yeah.
You just got to let it go.
Chat loves it, man.
No, they don't.
Nobody loves it.
No, they don't.
Nobody loves it.
Push on.
The Apple one, if you haven't seen it, made in 1987 when Jobs was not at Apple. This is the Scully days.
Right.
That's where I'm in the book.
And it was a professor using a future tablet and talking to a virtual assistant on the tablet. And if people have extrapolated the date, it would be September 16th, 2011 is when that video would be.
So actually quite close.
1 month before Apple actually announced 4S and Siri. So people say, oh, this is amazing.
But so they actually predicted the future.
The point is, Gruber makes the point that video is also stupid because it was made by an Apple that, again, made videos and not products.
Yep. Right, right, right.
I actually like the Apple video because the way it was directed, you can actually kind of imagine, parse how the computer is parsing his commands.
Yeah.
And I like watching the videos thinking about how these technologies would be implemented. Because while they seem amazing and magical and seamless, there is technology behind it. So if you watch the Apple one, it's different from the Microsoft one. The Microsoft one is ridiculous because, like, if you're in a taxi cab and you're looking out a window and somehow there's augmented reality to point out the outline of your hotel, you would need cameras in the taxi. The window would have to be, you know, transparent display, all that crazy stuff.
Imagine a world.
You'd have to – I mean, to think about that, it's still very, very far away. The Apple one, it was cool because as natural as the communication seemed between the actor and the tablet, the digital assistant – all that information is there. So messing around with Siri and figuring out how we have to, like, you know, contextualize everything and parse all the commands of Siri to tell, you know, how Siri breaks and how it works, you can actually apply that to the Apple video. So the guy, you know, his digital assistant doesn't know everything, but he has to say, oh, I remember reading an article a month ago by this guy's last name.
And then goes into your Google Reader history.
Exactly.
And,
right, so that technology would be possible today.
Yeah.
And programmers just have to make it happen.
Yeah. That's Siri 4.0.
The thing I found that Microsoft video of the future kind of underwhelming, and I usually really enjoy them because a lot of times what those videos do is present ideas and concepts of technology that have never occurred to people. Oh, wow, yeah, in the future we could totally do that. That would be amazing. But the Microsoft stuff just seemed to be based very heavily on, there'll be touch screens everywhere. Okay, yeah, and what? I think we can all agree that there will be a lot of touchscreens in the future. Where's the visionary part of this?
Yeah.
Yes, my kitchen counter in the future, recipes will come up on it. So fucking what? Show me something that I haven't thought of yet.
Did you guys see that Kinect hack, the projector, the touch projector hack?
No.
So basically they hooked a projector up to a they filled a room with Kinects, like four or five Kinects that covers the entire surface.
Mm-hmm.
And then they projected onto the wall. They knew where their projectors were in relation to the Kinect. And there were touch – so basically the projector became touchscreens.
Okay.
Like what was projected on the wall because they could track your hands and stuff inside space. And it was a really, really cool thing that, like, works today. It was amazing.
I think Kinect is terrific. I mean, I make fun of Microsoft for not innovating very much, but I think they did innovate with the Kinect, much more so than Sony did with the Move, which was just kind of copying Nintendo.
They light up.
Microsoft took it to the next level. And even though the technology is still a little bit janky, like the next iteration, I think within like a couple of generations of Kinect, we're going to be seeing some really amazing stuff.
It's a resolution thing again.
Like, yeah, I mean, the technology is only going to get better.
Yeah, when the dots are closer together.
That technology is going to be eventually is going to track the slightest eye movement, a blink, the slightest movement of your finger. Like it's going to be
then
the fidelity is going to get so much better.
If you opt in, advertisers are going to know when you don't look at their ads.
Yeah, they're going to know when you're not watching TV.
Hey, look at this ad.
When you're right.
Look
what's going to happen is
– Hey, Gary, over here.
What's going to happen is
– Hey, Gary.
When you decide you don't want to look at the TV and you drift because, oh, this ad's boring. You drift, your eye drifts down to your iPad.
Yeah.
The ad's going to fucking show up there instead. So, oh, over here.
Hey, well, I'm down here too. What's going on? It's like, I mean, fucking Gilbert Gottfried gone horribly wrong.
We have those ads. I mean, on Comcast, you have the ads where the Comcast thing pops up.
Yeah.
So, like, you're watching an ad for football, and it was, oh, if you like this, if you want to check out this now, press OK on your remote.
Yeah.
You can
switch. Oh, Tivo's done that for years.
Have you seen this thing now where on TV commercials it'll say Shazam for more info?
Oh.
You can Shazam a TV commercial.
So you say Shazam and then
you turn on Shazam on your phone the same way that you would if you're trying to identify a song, but it'll sample some of the audio from the TV commercial and direct you to more information. So they've found a new way to kind of commercialize Shazam.
So all that is just another way to track the effectiveness of those commercials.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like the QR codes in the magazine ads, and like, it's just
which
a way
again,
for them to get
direct metrics. I'm all for that. Anytime I'm given an option to tell someone if I think an ad is interesting or whatever, I'll always do it. Because again, we're never going to get away from ads. If I'm going to have to spend time watching ads, I'd rather them be products that are probably better tailored for me.
I suppose.
If I can just watch ads for, like, you know, shaving products and plaid shirts and things that I might be interested in, rather than, you know,
yeah, put the onus on the advertisers,
lady razors, and things that I'm not interested in. Yeah, that's they're gonna get
pick your quadrant.
That.
Pick your quadrant.
Yeah.
Should we go on to what we've been testing? Have we? I'm looking through the what's bananas section. People got like there's like four off topic suggestions in this listener's choice document. But I'm going to skip the number two one for right now. We'll come back to it in a little bit. What have you been testing this week, Norm?
Well, we had that Sony.
Can I tell
TV.
A story about that?
You can totally tell a story about that.
I did the Sony TV last night.
We can't call it a TV. It's a Sony monitor. It's 3D.
Because there's no tuner.
There's no tuner.
It's
not
HDMI,
a TV.
HDMI component.
Yes, this is
basically
the one they announced at E3, $500, 24 inches. We have that in the office.
It's a 3D TV. It's interesting because it does, I can't remember what they call it, but it's basically, instead of using the glasses to show 3D, two people wear the glasses.
Simulview.
Yeah, each one sees a different screen, basically.
Oh, yeah. I remember this was a great idea.
Yeah, we talked about it at
CES
3 or something. We haven't been able to test it yet because we don't have any of the games. There's only like three games that support it. So Resistance kind of supports it, but we don't have an online pass for that. Killzone 2 3 supports it, but I forgot to bring the disc in today. And I think MotorStorm supports it. However, after fucking around with that 3D stuff again, first off, the glasses are pretty good. They're comfortable.
When you say they're pretty good,
small.
It means they avoid the shutter glasses. They avoid the pitfalls of first generation shutter glasses in that they don't let a lot of light in from
the
sides.
They're not huge, and they're not real heavy.
Yes.
They have a bunch
of
problems.
They don't work well over other glasses.
They were okay over my glasses. I don't have like big
LED gold glasses.
They're
pretty tight, yeah.
They were kind of usability nightmare because when they turn off by themselves, you have to flip the power. There's two power switches. There's one on the top that you can hit easily, and then there's one that you have to take off the glasses to get to that's a switch. I don't know why the hell anybody would think that's a good idea, but whatever. The takeaway from this was last night I got in the car to go home. I kind of didn't feel real good after using this for a while, and I was in the car driving down Embarcadero, and I like threw up a little bit in my mouth, and then I felt bad all night
3D
long.
3D nausea?
I think it was from 3D.
Yeah, I don't like that.
But it could have been a bad sandwich at lunch. It's difficult to say. We're going to test some more tomorrow, and we'll know more then. I think that's – I don't know. I don't – 24-inch TV is way too small.
Wait, it's for desks. I don't know. Yeah.
So they imagine that two people are going to sit side by side at a desk and what?
I think they think that there's some magical dorm where a 24-inch TV is the right size.
Well, 24-inch TV is right for a small dorm room.
I think – I don't know. I had a 19-inch TV when I was.
I think you are taking TV sizes for granted. I think most people have 24-inch TVs and they game on.
I could see hanging this on the headrest in your car, like for the kids in the back. Dang, it looks like a big PSP.
Mm-hmm.
Like a big PSP.
Right.
Go.
Okay.
I don't want to talk about iPhone 4S. We'll talk about that next week after you've used it some more. I'm writing the review this weekend. What else have we been testing? There's other stuff that we've done. Phone cameras. Did we talk? I don't think we talked about that last week, did we?
We did talk about that last week.
Yeah, I did.
Have you played Battlefield 3 yet, Norm?
Nope.
People want to know. I haven't bought it yet. I think I'm going to do it tonight. Listening to the Bombcast this week made me want to play because they seem to be enjoying it. It seems like it has the Battlefield craziness, like all the wacky shit.
Yeah, I've been thinking about getting it. I don't know.
You guys are in. I'm in.
I'm still thinking Modern Warfare 3 for single player campaign, and then because I hear the single player is kind of shitty in Battlefield 3.
How about Uncharted 3 for single player campaign and then Battlefield 3?
So I started Uncharted 3.
Oh, yeah?
Fantastic. Loving it. The Uncharted games just get better. But this new one has taken that whole like playing an action movie feel to the next level. Like it's so good at making you feel like.
Well, you play on super easy, right?
No, I play on regular easy.
Okay.
There is a very easy.
There's like a game I can't
drop down that low. I'll play on regular easy.
Did you watch that video about what if Quake was made today?
Yeah, I thought that was really funny.
I thought that point would have been better. Actually, would have been better made if they weren't. It wasn't so exaggerated. Because games actually don't do the that they're claiming that those games do. Well, like you don't get full screen pop up tips. That's nonsense.
That was more relevant in the early days of tutorial levels.
I mean, I kind of get it. But then the way that the guy's playing it, this is the way shooters are meant to be played. I never play games like that. That's for a very hardcore elite of players.
You used to play like that. I mean, that's a speed run.
Yeah.
You can't do speed runs.
Rocket jumping and speed running and stuff. That's not for me. John Drake from Harmonix tweeted last night that Uncharted 3 is the first game that he's played that actually looks fantastic in 3D. Yeah. So even though I didn't have a great experience with Gears of War 3 in 3D, I'm going to bust out the glasses again and give Uncharted 3...
Well, the
3D,
PlayStation,
a shot.
Even on games that were generally better in 3D, even games that were cross-platform in 3D, the PlayStation implementation is almost always better because it supports the right version of it.
Yeah. So I'm definitely going to give that a try later. But the game itself, I cannot recommend highly enough. I played it up until like it was time to go to bed, and I had a hard time getting to sleep because like the adrenaline was still coursing from all the crazy shit that I was doing that felt like I was a hero of an action movie. I mean, there's Naughty Dog are just the best at this stuff.
I played Uncharted 2, and I can appreciate the craft of what they do.
Yeah.
I just am kind of not interested in that kind of super linear game anymore. I want to explore.
Okay.
I like open. I've been playing a lot of Dark Souls.
I don't care about that. I actually find that sandboxy stuff. It's too easy to kind of you lose all the drive. You're like, what am I supposed to do now?
Oh, like, for me, games are about exploration a lot of the time. And if I feel the walls closing in around me, it's why I didn't like Crysis 2 as much as I liked the first Crysis, even though that game was broken in a lot of ways too. Yeah, you just feel like it's
I like both. I mean, I like a cow running down the abattoir chute. I like a Red Dead GTA type experience where you can kind of create your own experience and wander around and decide what you want to do next. But I also like being led through the nose through a very cinematic type experience as well.
I see the value there. It's just not where I'm at right now. Yeah, the thing is, I'll take that for like Mass Effect, which is even though it's open in some ways, there's still a pretty linear path through it.
Mass Effect is pretty linear.
Yeah. I'm cool with that because that gives me I like the illusion of freedom even if I don't actually have freedom. Which I know.
Well, you
weird.
Do. I that mean, you do get to choose what you're going to do next in Mass Effect. You don't have to follow. I mean, it will eventually pull you back onto a linear
funnel.
Spine.
Like,
yes, you will always get funneled back.
Yeah.
But you can decide what order you want to do things.
Right.
To some extent.
I'm more. The thing I've realized is I'm much more into it if there's a funnel rather than a chute.
Okay.
Which seems completely arbitrary.
All right.
People are asking about your home theater PC, Gary.
Yeah, so I had this revelation. I don't know why it didn't occur to me before, but I took my, typically my PC was hooked up to my iMac on my desk.
Okay.
And I would hit like the target display mode key to switch over to my iMac. The problem with that is the native resolution of the iMac monitor is super, super, super high. So even though I got a pretty good graphics card in there,
it's like 2560 by
it's stretching it a little bit
right?
to be running games at that resolution. And sometimes you have to make compromises. And then I thought, well, I've got this huge TV downstairs and I've got a spare HDMI port in the receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't I give it a try? So I hauled the PC downstairs, plugged it in. And there's something kind of a lot of people that have been doing this for years, it's not special to them. But again, I'm sometimes behind on things. That moment when you first plug it in, you've got a massive 65-inch Windows desktop. I'm like, holy shit, why didn't I do this ages ago?
Well, I think the Windows desktop is terrible at 65 inches, but the first time you fire up a game,
I wouldn't want to use it as a computer that way. But I turned on Team Fortress, and I'm like, "Fuck, this is great! Why have I not been playing Team Fortress like this forever?"
But how were you playing with the keyboard and mouse on the desk?
Well, I'm still looking for a permanent solution to that. But for right now, I just sit on an ottoman in front of my coffee table and have it on the, and it's pretty comfortable. I got to come up with a more permanent solution. But for right now, I could totally play games like that.
I think you could probably do your recliners, like if you had a TV tray or something that went across arms.
I'm looking for a TV tray, but right now what I can't find is a tray that's wide enough. Bed Bath & Beyond make one that was recommended to me, but it's not wide enough for a full keyboard and a mouse surface.
Okay.
Wait, so I got to find something. Or do you use the touchpad?
I use a mouse.
You should use a touchpad.
I'm not playing fucking
He's
first
playing
person.
Oh,
playing
games.
Touchpad.
Pay attention. That's Ken. The, playing that's, with
the
your fucking phone.
That's the only reason it's there. I'm not using it as a home theater. I've got other solutions for that. I'm using it as a gaming console.
So I did this earlier this
desk.
Year or
you
last
need like
year.
A school desk. Or plops over because
again you need a surface
and
that,
you can't it's not a lean back
you know
experience,
you
lean
could
forward.
Just go get a board go get a like a 2x12 a 1x12 and put that across your arms of your chair and just put the mouse on one side and the keyboard on the other
see this is the thing I don't really want a lap desk because as Norm says if you're playing with a it's weird if you're playing with an Xbox controller which you can obviously do on many PC yeah. games then it is a lean back experience when I've got a keyboard and mouse I do want to be leaning forward because that's how I'm
yeah,
accustomed
exactly.
to playing those games
that's why you can't do it on your recliner
so I don't need so I, that's why I can,
you can do
that's why
recliner.
I can sit on my ottoman which doesn't have a back mm-hmm. because
right.
even though I'm sitting in my office chair I would never sit back I'd always
yeah,
be
but,
leaning
but
forward
but you don't want the keyboard to be down below you because if you end up bending your hands back at your wrist you're going to really fuck up your wrist
yeah but
back.
the height of it already feels pretty comfortable I'm going to come up with an ultimate better solution
okay.
but for right now I play like when I was playing Team Fortress 2 the other night that's how I was playing and it felt
okay.
great. And the other great thing is because it's running at 1920 by 1080,
yeah.
it's a great resolution, but the card is really running with like power to spare.
Oh, yeah,
now.
Of course, because you're a quarter of the pixels you are.
I saw Crysis 2, which was struggling at 2560 on the iMac monitor. I put it on at 1920, and it just flew. I was really happy with it. So this is now how I'm going to play my PC games.
Well, so
making more use. The PC is almost accessory for the TV.
Yeah.
So I did that. I ran the 25-foot HDMI cable from my PC into the TV about when I was doing all the 3D glasses testing, basically.
Yeah.
It works when if your living room is close to where your PC is because you need the
yeah,
signal
so,
to go
so,
to your PC.
Yeah, so literally like my cable keyboard. My cable jack in my house for the living room and the office where my PC is
yeah.
are literally – the hole is on the same place in the wall. So I just knocked. I opened up one of the extra ports in the plug thing, ran the cable through, and then screwed them back onto the wall, and then I use a wireless Xbox controller. So I can only I don't have a way to play keyboard and mouse games out there. I can just play controller games because I use a wireless Xbox 360 controller.
Yeah,
but I mean, even that is fantastic. I've been waiting for Batman on the PC,
yeah.
so I can.
That's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna play
that.
With the Xbox controller, lean back, yeah. play just like a console game.
Yeah, exactly. Probably Skyrim will do the same thing.
Oh yeah. This is like totally kind of
Rage.
This has made PC gaming sexy for me again. Like I was kind of getting a bit bored with it because I don't know. There was
well, just with the big speakers and stuff, it's a lot of fun.
Well, there was a lot of clutter associated with having a PC, having two computers running on one day. I've got enough cables back there as it is, and I've got to have two sets of speakers because I didn't want to or couldn't figure out how to KVM one mm-hmm. set of speakers.
Yeah.
So I finally was able to get rid of all that. So I've got two subwoofers under my desk. It's a big hassle. Got rid of all of that, and now everything just runs through, because it's HDMI, runs
yeah.
through the speakers that I've already got going.
So you have to your receiver then?
And goes to the receiver.
And you have audio through HDMI.
You go into your control panel settings and activate HDMI out or for the audio.
Yeah.
And it just works.
Yeah.
And
it's fantastic.
5.1.
It's 5.1. It looks fantastic on the big screen because we obviously, you know, those Panasonic displays are tremendous.
Yeah. What's better than that Samsung bullshit?
Yeah. I just love it. I'm really happy with it. And this to me is going to give a new lease on life to
PC
games.
Wait until you play Batman. Like, that's one of those things that, like, I took my Xbox copy of Batman and
yeah.
the PC version of Arkham
yeah.
Asylum.
Yeah.
And I played them one after the other.
Yeah.
And it is a completely different experience.
Because of the high resolution?
Because the high resolution, it looks so much better at 1080p with all the PC textures cranked
oh,
up.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited
about
it.
And all the physics shit happening. And, I mean, it's rad.
Yeah, this is definitely going to make – this has really kind of made PC gaming much more viable for me. Whereas before, I just wouldn't hesitate to pick up the 360 version. Because I'm like, well, I like playing on a big screen. Well, the PC now
yeah, yeah.
is that. It has all the same advantages. Yeah, no. It's made up all those advantages.
The only problem is launching the games. And I think that Steam, I know, Valve has been working on a 10-foot interface for Steam. So in theory, in the future, that you can use with the gamepad.
Yeah.
So in theory, in the future.
Steam has a grid view, which makes things easy to see.
That's not what I'm talking about, though. What I'm talking about is like literally like a TiVo Windows Media
right.
Center.
Right.
Like a designed
yeah.
to launch straight into this.
Yes.
Don't ever see the desktop.
Yes.
Like when they do that and you can control that from the gamepad, I am 100%.
Yeah, and then your PC really will feel like a console.
Yeah,
why take away
I'll
all
just
the bullshit.
Take the monitor away.
Because
and
I had to, so if I want to do web browsing, because I was playing around with it, it's great for running YouTube. And again, that's the other great benefit is like YouTube and HBO Go and all the things that are restricted on other devices.
Yeah.
There's no restrictions on
yeah,
PC.
Of course.
So that's pretty cool. Text is an issue. Like if you've got little, like if you're playing World of Warcraft, for example, and you're sitting far away from the screen, sometimes like the chat text, you want to try and you might want to have to increase the size
of
it.
Are you playing WoW again? You back on the needle?
No, I'm gonna get the Old Republic.
Okay,
I'm gonna play that, and I am gonna get back into WoW when Mists of Pandaria comes out, but not until then.
Okay,
you want to be a panda?
I fucking do. I want to be a Pandoran monk so much.
I can't believe that they ripped off Kung Fu Panda, though. I mean, of all the shit to rip off.
Well, but I mean, but I think they had the Pandarans established in lore before.
I think it's funny that it happened to Blizzard instead of the other way around.
But Blizzard has wanted to do that. Has wanted to make Pandarans playable for years. They just couldn't do it because of the restrictions coming in from China.
Oh, really?
China has very, very strict rules that you cannot portray any kind of violence or the death of a panda in any form because they're so protected.
What? That's the reason why. No time travel in movies and no killing of pandas.
Yes. You do time travel in
and
movies
also,
in
not and do also, time travel. You know, and also TV shows cannot be too
disrespectful to the past because they made too many comedies about going to the past and fucking up the time.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Did you see the other ruling that came down from like the Chinese broadcasting authority that said that TV shows cannot be too entertaining? Well, it's like TV shows have to be.
I'd be afraid that if TV shows are too entertaining.
It's actually not tremendously different.
I think
from
we
like
have that here now.
It's actually not tremendously different from what we have in the BBC in the UK. How, you know, we have rules that say you have to have a certain amount of television that actually has some merit to it. It just can't be garbage all the time like it is on American television.
Can we have PBS?
PBS right, but again,
awesome.
Right, but again, that only exists because of people funding it.
Yeah, people like you and me.
And the government's still trying to get rid of it.
Viewers like you.
Yeah. Without viewers like us and our tote bags, PBS wouldn't exist. Should we kick the – anything else we want to talk about what we've been testing?
I want to talk about passwords.
Oh.
Let's talk about passwords.
I want to talk about passwords too.
Yeah.
Gary, do yours first because mine's not serious.
Well, so look, just very quickly, you know, I've never had a problem with passwords being compromised in the past. But like I've said before, I never had a problem with backups until I lost all my shit. And then now I back up religiously. But
you use one password for everything or two passwords for everything, right?
I'm telling the story.
Sorry.
So
I'm backing away from the mic.
Even though I've never had a problem with passwords before. So somebody on Twitter posted some cautionary tale about a guy whose passwords got compromised, and because he had one password a bunch across a bunch of different things, once you know one thing gets compromised, everything's compromised.
Because the first happened to me at PAX.
I imagine the first thing that a password hacker does once they get a password is try on every other site
Gmail.
To see if they can get in there as well.
No, you just go to Gmail.
And once they get into your Gmail, then you're dead. Because that's how you recover your password is through whatever email address you're using.
Yep.
So even though I've never had an issue with password security, I read this thing and I'm like, you know what? I don't want to have an issue with. I don't want to have the heart attack before I decide that I should start eating more healthily. Right? Like, let's fix this now. So I did a quick bit of research, and some people recommended 1Password. Some people recommended LastPass, which are basically these services where you create one master password, and then this service will generate super, super deep, very high security passwords, unique ones for every single site, everywhere you go. Because my system was, up until this week, I had basically only 3 levels of password. I had a really generic, boring one, which was just a plain English word that I used for like forums and things that I don't particularly care about. I had a slightly more robust one for things that I cared more about. And then I had a super robust one for banking and things like that. But I still had – it was still a lot of different sites that only covered by 3 passwords. I think, shit. And like my Gmail password was the same as my Dropbox. I'm like, this is not secure. And so I signed up for 1Password. And it's a pretty good service. I like it a lot. And it's created these super duper encrypted passwords for every one of my sites now has a unique super duper password.
So I've been doing that too. I did that about a month and a half ago.
Yeah.
And the problem I have is that I made a super duper password for 1Password, like the master password.
Yeah.
Now I can't ever fucking remember that. So I have it written in a notepad document.
Well, my master
desktop.
Password for 1Password is not super duper.
54321?
No. It's still pretty secure, but it's not like a massive encrypted chain of like random letters and numbers. It's something I can remember. But because it's not stored anyway, it's only ever stored locally.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like someone could crack into 1Password servers and get all my shit. It's only on my local machines and in my brain.
You don't put it on Dropbox?
It is on Dropbox.
Okay.
But you would need to crack the mega password on Dropbox to get into it.
Or Dropbox could open your files.
Or Dropbox would fuck up somehow.
Right.
Like but then that password file is still encrypted.
Right. So I'm still, it feels a lot more, I feel a lot more secure than I was before.
So we talked about this a few weeks ago, but a couple of security researchers released a paper that basically said it's more secure to have a longer password that is less random than a shorter password that is more random because of the speed of processors these days and the way like rainbow attacks work and all that.
So a sentence as opposed to crazy characters up
right.
uppercase, lowercase, and random symbols. And
okay, because that's what all my passwords are now, like crazy 14,
yeah,
16
one,
character
1479 GM.
Of mixing uppercase, lowercase. It was a bit of a hassle because of course I've got to go into Apple TV and places like that and redo all my passwords. One password is great because, you know, you go to any site and as long as it's got the password stored, it will just autofill it for you.
Yeah.
So it makes your life a lot easier. But for things like Apple TV, I've got to go in and physically type in some super arcane password. You've only got to do it once, but it's still a hassle.
See, my Apple TV password is probably the weakest because I want to be able to type it in fast on the phone or the iPad or whatever.
Right, but that's also the same password for your iTunes, right?
Yeah, I'm comfortable with that. Eh. I mean, what's the worst that can
happen? It's been on the stream like tons of times anyway.
Yeah, I put it out there all the time.
But it's the same as my iTunes password is the same as my iCloud, which I wouldn't want someone getting into. And so I have the super secure password on that now as well.
That's true. The thing I would say, the one place this breaks down is on iOS devices. Well, one password's kind of expensive. It's like $50 for Windows and Mac.
So for me, it cost me $65 because it was $50 for the Mac app and $15 for the combined iPhone iPad app. And you want it across all your devices.
See, I bought the $100 pack to get a license for it so Gina has it too.
Yeah.
And then I don't think I ever told Gina that, so she may not know that she has this service available to her.
So a lot of people recommended LastPass for that reason. You can pay basically $1 a month, which is, you know, nothing really.
Yeah, I'm not interested in that. And they had some security problems a few months ago.
Yeah, so having done the research, I was most comfortable with 1Password, and it's a really cool service.
The nice thing about 1Password is it actually isn't a service, though. You control the file.
Right.
It's not like you're dependent on their servers.
Exactly.
You put the file where you want.
Yes,
so
I like that. It works pretty well on iOS as well. Again, if an app ever needs a password, I can very quickly bring up my 1Password app, one touch copy it, and then paste it into the other app.
But KeePass is a similar sort of thing that's free.
Yes.
Seems to be a little less reliable, people say.
Will, tell us your
I got
passwords.
A package the other day.
You didn't get a package. You got a box.
A safe.
So
somebody FedExed me a safe.
Unlike a box that's
this
sitting
mystery
next to me.
Box.
Yes,
what's
we have
in
a mystery
box.
We have a mystery box sitting next to us. That's the fourth podcast.
Addressed
today.
To me.
It's to Gary. Gary, we're not your post office. We're not going to open this right now. We're opening it in a future video.
I'm trying to remember if it would be illegal.
Why would it be illegal?
Because a mail is addressed to me. You can't open it.
It's a federal offense because it crosses state lines.
Does it say tested.com on there?
No, it's just Gary Widow.
It's just Gary Widow. And then
don't worry. I kicked it around already. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a puppy in there that's dead by now.
Okay, good.
Oh, yeah. So Will got a package not in a box, but it was just...
Some dumbass has sent me a safe.
Okay.
Like a safe, with a
dial.
No, it has a keypad.
Okay,
same idea.
About the size of this box, actually. So maybe like
was it like one of those safes
tall?
I want to call this. I want to make this a segment. This should be the PR tchotchke hall of shame, because this is like sending some like candy or something. Whatever, I don't care. But sending a damn safe. Now I have a safe that I have to do something with.
Well, but I mean, so yeah, something to keep. You can probably find it useful.
No, I don't. It's not a. No.
I'm sure I could find some use for a safe if I had one at my house.
Anyway, it's not a very good safe. Is the other thing? Because it's a tchotchke safe.
Okay.
Like you don't. If you need a safe, you want a good safe. You don't want.
Well,
one
could
that
you?
You get
could
at
you?
Costco for $45.
Could you crack it?
It has it's a four-digit code with a keypad.
Well, on the safe, not only was the shipping label pasted to the back of the safe.
There was an envelope glued
to it. There was an envelope glued to it, and it read.
Will Smith. It said, this safe is for
no, no,
Will
no.
Smith.
It says, I want your passwords inside
That's
me,
it.
Will Smith.
And then underneath that in script, it said, welcome to Earth. Earth. E-A-R-F.
As in the other Will Smith.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
So this is like... If you want to talk about ways to get my attention in a negative way.
So this wasn't like a reader that sent this.
No,
this
is a PR. This
okay.
is the worst PR move ever. These guys are probably listening.
What
I'm
were
sorry,
they promoting?
I'm being an asshole.
What were they promoting?
So they're promoting a piece of software called Securely, which I haven't actually installed yet. There's a code for it or something in the box.
Okay.
But I just don't send safes. Please. If you're listening to this, this is not good. We don't need safes. We like products. Send products if you want us to look at products.
All right.
Securely is an iPhone app that's basically like KeePass or 1Password or anything.
Oh, okay.
I'll download it and try it out. We'll probably do an apps of the week if it's interesting. But yeah, so that's – I have a safe out there. You can see it. It says welcome to Earth on it.
Yeah. And I would recommend to people if you are one of these – are one of these people that has like you know,
use 1Password
your own name
everything.
or 54321 or password as your password, your shit's going to get jacked. At least come up with something better than that. I was still a little bit nervous about having my password encrypted in all these services. I know you can recover them through your email account and stuff, but I still made a manual copy and printed it out and like folded it up and kept it somewhere secret just in case I ever need to get those passwords.
Well, in the fear, in case you have, you lose your memory.
Yeah, you get in the head, amnesia. Yeah.
Amnesia. Then you won't know where this envelope is.
Well, I would only have to forget my master password, and I forgot all of them. Again, you could recover them through your email accounts.
Yeah, but I mean, that's an enormous pain in the ass. It's a pain in the ass to have to change all your passwords. It's an enormous pain in the ass to have to recover all the passwords.
This was a bit of a pain in the ass, and generally I think maintaining it, in some ways it's more convenient, in some ways it can be more of a hassle, but overall I'm willing to do that for feeling safer about my password security.
Agreed. So that does it for what we've been testing. Let's take a couple questions. If you have a question for This Is Only a Test, send an email to podcast@tested.com. Keep it short, under a minute. A lot of the questions we've been getting are long, and I am bouncing them without listening to them because I'm kind of an asshole. Listen to it. Make sure it sounds good. Flows nicely, is entertaining, and relatively condensed.
And include some hometown trivia.
Or a would you rather.
Thank you for reminding me. I actually do have a would you rather this week.
Ooh. I'm going to play the first question.
Hey, Tested. This is Dustin. I've been looking for an iPod Touch equivalent for Android, but haven't been able to find anything except for Arcos devices that don't look very good. Ideally, I would like a Nexus S or the upcoming Galaxy Nexus, but I don't want to have to deal with any phone contracts. I only want a device for data, and I would be mostly getting the data through Wi-Fi. My primary concern for this device is getting updates like Ice Cream Sandwich and then whatever else comes after that, as well as I would like the device to have some decent performance. I could go with something bigger, like a tablet from Asus, such as the Transformer, but I think I would prefer a smaller device that would be more equivalent to the iPod Touch. Anyway, thanks a lot.
He wants an iPod Touch that's Android. Samsung Galaxy Player 5.0.
There's your answer. Next question.
That was a good talk. Do they actually sell it in the U.S.? I've never seen it at Best Buy.
Yes,
they
do. I mean, it's old.
It's a Galaxy S1, right?
Why does it need to be Android?
Because he wants something to run Android apps, I assume.
If you want something that's just not an iPod, I would say get a Zune.
Well, but I mean, it could be that he's an Android developer and wants to develop apps, but doesn't want to have a data plan attached to it, or all sorts. I mean, there's all sorts of reasons you would want an Android device.
And you know what? If he's not using his phone, he can have fun, installing different launchers on it, putting some Imogen, doing all sorts of fun stuff.
Kindle Fire.
He
wants a pocketable thing.
Mm.
Galaxy Note also.
It's kind of surprising now I think about that there isn't really much of a market of Android iPod Touch equivalents.
No, there isn't. Yeah, I mean,
why not? You think that would be a pretty decent category?
People want iPod touches.
They do. They love the iPod Touch.
Well, and you can't get Zunes anymore either.
Yeah, you can. I mean, they just continue, but you can still buy them.
Yeah, but the browser's bad. There's no apps. It's like that's not that kind of device.
It's one of those devices, though. The people that do like them really like them.
Yeah, but it's just a music player.
It's a great music player.
Yeah, but it's great for running and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna play one more question.
Hi, Tested Crew. My name's Amanda from Edmond, Oklahoma. Fun fact, just recently, Edmond was named the number one suburb to live in all the United States. My question concerns headphones. I've run through about 6-7 pairs of headphones over the last 3 years. Most recently, I just got a pair of Sony MDR 5700s, and the wire got bent. So that unless it's in a perfect angle, I can't hear anything. So my question is, what is a good quality headphone for multi-purpose use that is durable and won't crap out on me after 6 months? I use it for pretty much everything, gaming, listening to music, podcasts, etc. So thanks, and keep on testing.
Well, you were completely flummoxed by the voice of a woman.
It's an unusual event.
We'll screen these. That was fake flummoxing.
She sounded like she was recording from like a crypt or something as well.
It's a little echoey sometimes.
Very echoey. Astro A30s.
They're kind of expensive. The thing I would say is if you have
those for gaming though. Did she say she needed them for gaming?
Okay. The A30s are all purpose. Yeah. They're
I'm actually thinking about getting those because again, as part of my new home theater, Yeah. Well, actually, it's no different. In my case, it's just a PC, big screen PC living room gaming machine.
Yeah.
That I'm going to need a solution for that now as well. So hopefully, like, are they wireless? They're not wireless, are they?
They have a wireless mix amp now.
Okay.
I haven't tested that. I should get one of those in. I'll call Stan.
Everyone says great things about the A30s. I think I might just wait for the next packs and get the ones that you always have there.
The special edition ones,
yeah.
I'm not a fan of the swappable ear plates.
So just keep the regular ones on.
Why do you need the special?
Because they're usually cheap.
Oh, okay.
And you do have the option of the swappable plates.
The thing I would say is if you have trouble destroying headphones, get something with a removable cord, like a detachable cord. Mm. So like those $300 headphones that you have, you shouldn't use them for gaming. They're not all purpose phones. But they like look for a user replaceable cord. Like these headphones I'm wearing right now, the Sennheiser HD580s, which are old and they don't make anymore. Literally, you can just pop the thing out, and when you break the cord, you can just replace it, and it's like $25.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's worth spending a little bit more money on a higher end piece of hardware.
Yeah, if you're breaking them every couple months.
Well, if you can replace the part that you break.
Yes. And they make enough of those that you can find the replaceable parts.
The other thing to do is to go the other route entirely and just go to Radio Shack and buy the $15 headphones and just chuck them in the landfill.
That is the Anna way of doing things.
That is the Anna.
Walgreens and Radio Shack.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Well, other than you probably get shitty sound quality.
Yeah. The last thing to do is to figure out what exactly it is you're doing that's jacking the cables up and just not do that anymore. I put a little metal hook up underneath the desk because the thing that I do is, you know, the cable gets hooked up in the wheels of the chair or in the arm of the chair or whatever.
Yeah.
So then when you turn the chair and your headphones aren't on, then you huck the phones across the room, which is not good for them.
What a great feature the breakaway cable is, though. The number of times that saved me, the cable's broken. I've stood up or whatever, and the cable's detached. I'm like, oh man, imagine what would have happened if the cable hadn't detached.
On the Xbox.
With headphones, with the Xbox controllers.
Yeah.
Back in the days when the wired controllers.
Yeah, the Xbox One.
And also the MagSafe on. Number of times I've stood up from like the coffee table and kicked the power cable loose, and it just detaches because it's the magnetic thing on the MacBook. I'm like, shit, if that hadn't detached, my MacBook would be flying across the room.
The MacBook's actually light enough that it sometimes does move the MacBook around
a little bit.
A lot.
Yeah. I wish that I had MagSafe Ethernet.
MagSafe is patented.
I know. I'm just saying. I wish that all the connectors on the side of the MacBook.
I hate.
I wish that it was just a magnetic block that you plugged into the side that had power and USB and all the shit that you need plugged into the computer plugged in.
Yeah.
But then there'd be a proprietary adapter. And actually, when I think about that, it is a terrible idea. But that does it for questions. If you have questions, we're doing them again. Sorry we skipped the last couple of weeks because we went really long. If you have questions, podcast@tester.com. Run them, listen to them and make sure they sound like they would sound on the podcast, because I can't fix bad sounding questions. It's not what we do here. And I guess that'll do it for us today. It's been a normal length episode if this is only a test. Thank you, Gary Whitta and Norman Chan, for being here. I like your plaid shirts. I like that you guys matchy-matchy the roll-ups. That's cute. We'll be back next week with more This Is Only a Test every Thursday. Until then, I'm Will. See you guys next time. And stay tuned for fake outtakes.
You really didn't need to say that I'm the Will.
I know.
My gut response was I'm Norm.
I know. I was trying to get you to do it. I was trying to trap you.
Almost. Almost.
I kind of am starting to feel a little nauseous again. I think it's the fact that it's 85 degrees in here.
Very warm.
Which song? Any requests? I'll play this one.
Hi there. I didn't see you.
That's it.
Look, that pig has wheels. Oh, no, 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 no.
You know what we should do for those? We should have one where it's blank and I have to come up with something on the spot that takes 4 seconds.
Terrible, terrible idea.
Every week it needs to be something different, so I need to plan and have like a list of them.
If you plan and have a list.
Yeah, no, that's the point. Yeah. It's a challenge.
Why is there a little dude made out of a twist tie, and why are there bobby pins in here?
What?
Oh. There's a bobby pin right here. I don't understand. I'm confused and scared.
Mm.
Should we talk about...
I want to talk about a couple things.
Okay.
I have four things I want to talk about.
I want to talk about the Skyrim statue, because those you weren't here.
I wasn't here for
that. But those assholes had a Dragonborn Skyrim statue, and after helping them open those crates with an impromptu crowbar and specifically saying, please just don't put it behind my desk, guess where the 8-foot
Skyrim statue – oh, well, Bethesda sent you a big statue.
It's not behind your desk.
Well, it was yesterday morning when I came in.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Lame.
It was by the Big Red Phone?
No, it was – It was, you know where my chair is and my ass normally goes?
Yes.
That's where it was.
Oh, well, it wasn't going to be there permanently.
No shit.
It's a good thing that Bethesda spent all that money sending out those massive statues. Otherwise, you know, sites might be tempted not to bother covering Skyrim.
Yeah. I didn't know it was coming out until we got the statue. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Statue matches the couch awareness. That's next to you right now.
I haven't seen it. I'm sure I'll see it when I go back outside.
How the fuck did you miss it?
Did you walk down the stairs into our office?
No, I'm pretty oblivious.
It's pretty camel. It's a dark color. Yeah. It's a big Skyrim statue.
All right.
Dude with horns.
Okay.
Horn helmet. I want to quickly mention there's a really cool website that Wes linked me to yesterday that has these Russian propaganda scans from I think magazine scans, the front cover and back cover of this publication in Russia that was like a futurist publication, maybe a science fiction magazine.
Yeah.
That's great art. They're really, really high resolution scans. I think we've ripped them to like 88 images, massive. And that's what I use to make my wallpapers on my phone.
Okay.
Cool.
That looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
Can I see?
Yeah. I'm getting text messages.
Oh, hey, did you get my message about picking up that copy of Killzone 3?
No, I did not actually.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. That looks nice.
Matches the white iPhone.
Good image.
So I'm going to make some wallpapers and post them on the forums, I think.
Okay.
Nothing more fun than
I found somebody. I was on GAF, I think, and somebody posted a link to this massive repository of archived photos from the 40s and 50s and things like that. And it was some really amazing photographs from those eras.
Did you see the horse tauntaun story yet?
I heard about it.
Three other things I want to talk about. One, well, on with the would you rather. But we saw yesterday.
Oh, no, I know. I did hear about the horse tauntaun.
Best and worst thing on the internet. The worst thing was
there
the
weren't
horse
pictures,
tauntauns.
Were there?
The whole point was that there were pictures.
It was awful. I don't want to see that.
You didn't even look at the pictures. Quit being such a drama queen.
I saw the blurred out, where it just showed the face of the person.
Everything surrounded by red.
Everything was surrounded by blurred out, but even behind the blurred, it was all red, so you kind of knew what was
happening. Yeah, I don't want to see that.
This is what happens when you spend your life telling kids that they're special and they're beautiful butterflies, is they come up with crazy, stupid shit like this.
Also, TV and media does not desensitize me to like gore and violence.
Real
shit is still fucked up and scary.
Yeah. So this person didn't do it for like survival, right?
No, it did it for.
They did it because they wanted
to be one with the animal.
Stupid hippies.
All right, well that person should be locked up.
Yeah,
stupid hippies. They didn't break any laws. It turns out because they it was for slaughter.
Gross. It's disturbing all the same. Yeah, let's move on.
Video I tweeted this morning?
No, what thing?
The bird video?
Screw the bird video.
Your bird video is shit compared to the bird video.
Was great apart from the shitty music they put over
and
the
also,
I think it's funny. I thought they used a soundtrack from your Turntable FM room.
The joke is I have poor taste in music. I get it.
I don't think you have poor taste in music. I think that
Gary has ironic taste in music. That video had bad music. Somebody also was poorly cropped.
Somebody Facebooked a cartoon. On Facebook today that was a picture of Wile E. Coyote handing over a lot of money to Sonic the Hedgehog because Sonic the Hedgehog had like a dead Roadrunner in his hand because the idea is that Wile E. Coyote had finally figured out how to catch Roadrunner.
Oh, he just hired Sonic.
He had hired Sonic to catch him. But I took umbrage with the notion that Sonic the Hedgehog is faster than the Roadrunner.
Yeah, I disagree
completely. I don't believe that at all.
Roadrunner is infinite speed. Well, did you ever read that Animal Man? Comic. It was Grant Morrison wrote it way back, but it was basically about the mythology of the Roadrunner and the perpetual death that the coyote endures.
So
the coyote's
basically in Groundhog Day.
It's a metaphor. It's wonderful.
For life?
Yes.
Or the futility of life?
Futility of life. It's really good.
I get that both are fast. But, do you remember when the Roadrunner would take off? Like, meep, meep, and gone. He was just gone.
He had the bird.
Like, one frame and gone.
That cloud of smoke was when the vacuum left by his absence filled with air.
Yeah. I mean, he was crazy fucking fast. Actually, as much as I love that Blu-ray of Tom and Jerry cartoons,
There's a Looney Tunes Blu-ray coming out next month.
I just want Roadrunner. Roadrunner's my all-time favorite cartoon.
I like Marvin the Martian, too. And I like the Big Red Monster.
I can't remember. I like the Roadrunner.
I after watching the Tom and Jerry stuff, the first thing I did was went to Amazon to see if I could get a Looney Tunes Golden Collection, which I'd never bought because it was always too expensive.
Yeah,
and it's still expensive, but I bought it anyway.
I need a dedicated Roadrunner box set, and I don't know if they make one.
I don't think they make that.
Yeah,
it's one of those things they got to pile in the garbage so that you buy that. You know, you got to buy the Foghorn Leghorn to get the Yosemite Sam and the Roadrunner. I went looking for the complete run of The Muppet Show the other day.
Oh, you can get that.
To the
no, you can't. Really, a box. Really expensive.
It's how many episodes is that?
It's like 7 years, 6 years. Because
it's hour long.
It's an hour
variety
long.
Shows.
Yeah, 25 episodes a year. It is a lot of variety shows.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to go see Harold and Kumar 3D Christmas this weekend, right?
Yeah. I got to test out those Oakley 3D glasses. I've had them sitting at my desk. I haven't been to a 3D movie in months. All right.
Oh, well, they will work?
Theoretically.
Does it depend on what flavor of 3D you get?
Theoretically.
Okay.
You can bring them. I mean, you'll
I'm going to bring them
classes.
And try them out.
Yeah.
We'll know.
I mean,
you can look like the douchiest guy in the theater.
Well, that's what I was going to say is you have to take a picture of me.
I will definitely take a picture.
Like, you have to go down to the bottom of the theater and take a picture of all the people wearing the dumb glasses and then me wearing the super dumb bro glasses.
But just make sure you grab a pair out of the bin as well in case they don't work.
I'm going to take my 2D glasses.
Don't watch that movie in 2D.
No, this is a movie you actually do want to see in 3D.
You think?
Yeah, because the whole thing is just a joke of like just bad 3D gimmicks.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll have three sets of glasses.
Oh my god! Well, have you not seen the trailer? Every 3D effect is the most ridiculous, like bat and ball, you know, over the top 3D effects you could possibly imagine.
I'm just glad that they hadn't come up with 3D when they shot Borat, because like, can you imagine that naked guy?
No,
3D?
No, they wouldn't have done it that way.
Although that is possibly the hardest I've ever laughed.
You did.
Oh yeah,
I was hurting.
I thought I was gonna break something.
Other people were looking at me in the theater. I was laughing so hard.
It doesn't hold up.
No, it doesn't work the second time.
No, but the first time, unexpected.
No, the first time, I mean, I was literally, tears were just rolling down my face.
Well,
it's so
like the Jason Segel nude breakup at the beginning of Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
No, that's more of a...
That was really funny, as painful.
Dude. Nowhere near as funny.
But not rolling...
But it doesn't hold up, is my
rock
point.
Rock rolling out of my seat.
We need to figure out a date for Harold and Kumar. We should go this weekend.
Let's go Saturday morning.
Catch like a matinee, yeah.
Saturday morning's perfect. The crowd won't be as bad.
Won't be as many stoners in there.
Yeah.
They're not up Saturday morning.
That's right. No. Go early while they're still sleeping it off.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The best video I saw on the internet, not the bird video.
Bird video was awesome. Fuck you.
Did you watch BR Hand Skills?
The video was good, but the music ruined it.
I agreed.
So, a video with good music and content? BR Hand Skills 01?
I think that's the
Which
Titanic
one is this?
Of web video.
Which one is this?
This is the girl with the katana. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, I didn't see that. Is she like a chick that's good with a sword, basically?
I just want to say girl with the katana and that's it.
All right, you can show it to me
later. I'll show it to you later.
All right. What else is going on?
It's awesome. So, would you rather?
What are you watching on TV? Are you doing Breaking Bad?
I watched
South
Park last
night. I'm into season 2.
You are good. Good. Told you it was good, right?
You know,
it just gets better and better.
So we had a request from some European listeners to warn when we're going to talk about spoilers. Because, for example, like Breaking Bad is not a show that is accessible to them right now.
But we don't do spoilers, do we?
We don't do spoilers. Let's not do spoilers.
I can't do spoilers for your benefit.
I know. We haven't done – the point is he was complaining about us doing Breaking Bad spoilers. I don't think we've done Breaking Bad spoilers.
I got the battery problem. Fill the phone.
Well, that's because it's charging, dude. It gets much hotter.
Yeah, don't freak out just yet. You're doing the thing now where you're super super angry about
your
phone.
You're garying.
Don't do that. I recognize these symptoms only too well.
I'm glad that you realize it because, like, when we like the first time we built that PC, the one that Viderman ruined,
yeah,
like you kind of wigged out on that one, and I was a little worried about it.
Well, then the other one that we built did have a real. I didn't invent that. That was a real problem.
Yeah, you didn't invent that one, but then like, and then I think actually the fact that you were able to fix that on your own was a really good experience for you.
I didn't fix it on my own though. I had to bring it in. You diagnosed eventually there was a bad stick
did
around.
Did you bring it in?
Yeah, I did.
Oh. But you
it was the worst problem for me because it was like a really serious fatal problem, but it was really hard to diagnose. Yeah. I hated it.
But you learned how to diagnose it.
I eventually fixed it. Yeah. Felt good about it.
I'm going to go into the.
I want to recommend this new TV show that I like on NBC.
What is it?
It's called Up All Night.
Is it like a late
night
thing?
It's a sitcom. It's Christina Applegate and Will Arnett.
Oh, we watched an episode of that. It was really funny.
It's really good.
It's old person humor, though.
Yes. And that's why I like it.
Norm isn't going to like the show at all.
It's like, this couple, right? And I guess it's called Up All Night because they used to be Up All Night because they were like a party couple and they like would go out to clubs and bars and like, they were fun people.
Yeah.
And now they've had a baby.
Yeah.
And so their life has to change and they have to start becoming old, boring, nerdy people.
Yeah.
But I, you know,
the episode, did you
I recognize that? A lot of the humor of them in my life. So I found it very funny.
Yeah, the I realized yesterday that I don't really have a strong opinion about the iPhone 4S camera because I've used it 3 times, and all 3 of those times were to take pictures of the dog.
Yeah.
The episode that I saw was the one where they went to the where they called the cops because the neighbor.
Oh, the
had
cool
a party.
Neighbors. Yeah,
yeah, the cool neighbors.
That was a good episode.
It was Larry David-esque. It was very good. It was, yes. It was very discomfort humor.
It's good. It's a fun show, and I like the fact that it's actually kind of sweet that they're not. It's not edgy or hip. It's just these two super nerd people that are kind of slowly getting into middle age who are just like super into each other.
Yeah.
And now they have a baby.
Yeah.
And it's just cool.
Well, I love Will Arnett and I love Christina Applegate.
And it's actually really weird to see Will Arnett playing a character who isn't a dickhead.
Because he's kind of a dick.
He usually plays dicks and villains, but he's just this like slightly nerdy dad.
How long until Saturday Night Live people start showing up in that episode, in that show?
It's already happened. Maya Rudolph's on it.
Oh, that's
she's right. a regular on it. Oprah. Will Forte's already been on it.
Is that's the show where Maya Rudolph is Oprah, right?
Yeah, basically.
Okay. Yeah. That's the part that I didn't like about that.
Anyway,
show,
it's a good show. Actually. If you have Hulu, they have all the episodes on it. I'd recommend it. It's on Wednesdays. It's my new favorite show.
What have I been watching? We watched Gina is now into Terra Nova, so I made a mistake.
Oh, so you haven't been able to get out.
No, we watched an episode last night, but finally somebody got eaten by a fucking dinosaur.
Ah.
Finally.
That Terra Nova? I watched Jurassic Park and Blu-ray.
That was a good choice. Did you buy the box set though? You got the two shitty movies or did you get the one good movie?
I'm waiting for them to split them up because I only want the first one.
I'm matrixing.
Although Best Buy had the whole set for like $30. I'm like, shit, why don't I just get like I would pay that for the one movie.
And give the bad ones to a homeless guy or something?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I
so he can watch them on his Blu-ray player.
Exactly.
Trade these for a burrito or something. I did that with Matrix. Like I waited until the Matrix box set was.
Yeah,
split
you gotta wait for the.
No,
split.
I got the whole like 11-disc box set.
You've made poor choices all around.
I've only watched the first movie.
Right, that's all you need to watch.
In Blu-ray, and that's it. None of the special features, none of the animated stuff, even.
So how did that Blu-ray transfer? Is it good?
Universal actually full screens 16:9 crops all their movies in Blu-ray, so it's not.
It's not CinemaScope?
What?
It's not CinemaScope.
When fuck I watched those
it,
guys.
It was. Oh, fuck that. Okay, maybe I'm not getting it.
But it looked great. It was a great transfer.
Yeah, but
it just was full screen.
I think Spielberg would not stand for that.
I saw that.
Maybe it was the version that my housemates bought it. Maybe it's the version they got, but that's what it was.
I saw that at the Uptown in Washington, D.C., which is one of the old, like, 2.5, 3:1 CinemaScope theaters. It's like it's the super wide. It's you sit there and all you see around you is screen and there's a balcony and everything. It was amazing.
What a fantastic one of the last truly great like the magic of cinema type movies. I think is Jurassic Park.
That was when 3D graphic stuff was novel and amazing and not oh wow okay somebody imagined something else is crazy and
it's been nearly 20 years and the CG in that movie still holds up against anything they make today.
Absolutely holds up.
It's amazing. Yeah.
The only thing that's happened is the dinosaurs, like our ideas about what those dinosaurs are has changed. So like if you were going to George Lucas that movie, you'd go make the dinosaurs more scientific-y.
No, more colorful that. And Triceratops scene wouldn't be there.
Well, yeah, it would still be there, but it would be a Torosaurus instead of a Triceratops.
Yeah, I guess.
So nobody's played Battlefield 3. That we're not going to talk about.
I've seen a little bit of it played. I'm just again. I got Uncharted 3. There's the Horde pack has just come out for Gears 3.
Oh, so fuck. Let's talk about the Jobs book.
Okay, I haven't read it.
Oh, you haven't read it yet?
No. Again, I'm backed up behind all these other books.
How far are you in, Norm?
It's a couple chapters. Oh. Not enough time.
That's what you're done with. Did you read the sister's eulogy?
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was hard.
She's a writer.
Well, yeah, and she's very good at it.
So it would seem.
If you read one tribute, one thing about Steve Jobs, you should read that one thing.
Has Stephen Fry written anything yet?
Yeah.
He did. He wrote something on his
he wrote, as he always does, wrote an incredibly long, extremely loquacious, kind of slightly overwritten tribute.
So not very good, though.
The Mona, is it Mona Simpson? Is that her name?
That is her name.
The Mona Simpson obituary, the tribute that's on the New York Times is the best thing that I think has probably been written about Steve Jobs.
I'm looking at other questions on the list. This is kind of, you might not want to answer this. If you don't, that's cool. One of the readers wanted to know if you could George Lucas Book of Eli.
I already answered it.
Oh, you did. This is your answer.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Okay, never mind. They want to know if he would have sunglasses that blink after that. He must have left for that. Book of the Year, Album of the Year. It's too early to talk about that stuff.
I don't really listen to music enough to have an Album of the Year.
I don't really read enough to have a Book of the Year.
Yeah.
Together, we can answer this question.
I can do Game of the Year. I'll be able to do Game of the Year.
I think I know your Game of the Year. It's going to be Uncharted.
It's probably going to be Uncharted. I mean, I don't know what
as a content tourist that
I don't know what would beat it at this point.
I really liked Portal 2. I really liked
Portal 2. I think
I had some magical.
I forgot about Portal 2 because it was at the beginning of the year.
I had some magical times with Trench. We haven't played Skyrim yet at all. I'm super interested in that. I love those games.
I guess I should give. I never got into that series. I tried to get into Oblivion, but there's this weird thing where the field of view in the game gave me a headache. And I couldn't get into it.
It was real narrow on the Xbox especially.
Yeah, I was playing on the PC, but I don't know, I'll try it. again, I want to. I'm actually enthused about playing PC games again because of this new setup I've got. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I was listening to the Bombcast yesterday, and they were talking about both Batman and the first 3 hours of Skyward Sword that Patrick had played.
Yeah,
and I'm suddenly very interested in playing Skyward Sword to the point that I think I'm going to go see if I can buy that optical drive, the LG one that lets you play Dolphin games on the PC.
Mm.
Yeah, emulate.
Talk to Wes about.
Oh, has he done that?
He plays all his stuff on.
Oh, interesting.
PC.
You know, we didn't talk about the hard drive shortage.
Yeah, so there's flooding in Thailand.
Flooding, yeah.
And yeah. We got press releases from both Western Digital and Seagate, and this is actually just days before they announced their quarter annual earnings.
Yeah,
when they made record earnings. Like, these
no shit,
billions. Hard drive prices, like I think 25% of the world's hard drive production was in Thailand, and now those factories are flooded. Hard drive prices.
0% of the
world's. So if I go to like a Fry's right now and look at hard drives, am I going to see jacked up prices?
$200 for a 1 gigabyte, 1 terabyte drive.
From $69 to $200.
That Western Digital terabyte drive that I bought, the little USB 3.
You got it in the nick of time.
I got that for $99. It's a great value.
But the thing is, a lot of this isn't just because of production shortages. It's also because of artificial demand, because people think that.
But are they jacking up the prices on the units that are already on shelves?
It's not that. It's that the demand has outstripped supply. It's not like when the oil prices go up and the gas stations jack up the price immediately. It's that literally Amazon is only letting people buy one terabyte hard drive at a time.
Wow.
So Vinny, we used terabyte hard drives to archive all of our video.
Yeah.
And like the original versions. And Vinny buys like 20 of those a month.
Yeah, get them while – because you know you're going to need them. Get them while the prices are low.
No, dude. We're fucked. So we didn't buy. We were out. And they're $200 for what was a $65 drive last month.
I thought the point was you had them all stockpiled so you could weather this storm.
Well, we did. But, I mean, we used 20 a month. Mm. You know, you can only stockpile so many just in time, man.
Right.
The point Norm made the other day, though, is that because it's as much a supply-demand thing as it is an actual shortage, once the other factories ramp up production, then the prices should drop right.
Well, maybe not be a back little to higher, the low but prices, but they will
so now,
don't buy $200 one.
Now is
drives.
Not the time to go buy a hard drive.
No,
but I it's going to affect anyone. PC builders, anyone that needs a hard drive is going to get stiffed right now.
Literally, I bought a 2 terabyte drive for my TiVo the other day, and it was $89. I'm really, really glad that I did that before the
floods. It's crazy. When I went and bought that hard drive recently at Fry's, I was really struck by how cheap hard drive prices are. I guess not right now, at least.
No, the other interesting thing is how it's going to affect things that rely on like Amazon S3 and all that kind of storage. Because, you know, Amazon, we've talked about this before, but there's a dude that works at the S3 factory whose whole job is to unwrap hard drives and jam them into machines.
Yeah, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, hard drives are just one of those things that everybody needs all the time, right? You just need whatever it is you're doing, whatever kind of application you need storage.
And these are production physical hard drives.
Right.
So it's... Go build, you know, if you're building a new PC, start with an SSD.
Now's a good time to, you may as well put an SSD in there. If you're in a hurry to build one, the price difference is not that great right now.
Well, price per gigabyte is still dramatically different. But
it still makes more sense.
If you're looking at $200 for a 1 terabyte drive versus $300 for a 256 gigabyte.
How long is this going to take to correct itself?
I don't have any idea. A while. Mm. It depends on how bad the factories are fucked up. Like if they can go in and clean them out and recalibrate everything and put new machines in.
But doesn't this slow down the everything? Like, for example, like might new iMacs be delayed because Apple's not going to want to pay crazy prices for hard drives?
Apple's price is probably locked in for the hard drives because they have long-term
contracts. Oh, right. Okay.
So, yeah. So we're eating the brunt of this would be my guess.
Okay.
So I guess anybody else have anything they want to talk about?
I have a would you rather.
Oh, you have a would you rather.
Yeah. If you can go back... In time, I was thinking about this recently.
Are we going to kill Hitler?
Two parts. No, if you can go back in time and relive X number of months of your life, but you stay this age, so you basically shorten your life by that much.
This isn't about that fucking stupid Justin Timberlake movie, is it?
No.
Okay.
No, that's stupid. How many months would you go back? Obviously, you couldn't go back years because you look different.
Oh, so like Hot Tub Time Machine, but instead of looking like you're in the 80s,
you look
like you do now.
So if you went back, you know, if you went back a month, no one could tell the difference between you and you, but you get to relive that past month, but you're technically a month older.
Are you replacing yourself or are there two of you?
The two-part question. How many months would you go back?
Well, it depends. Am I replacing myself or is there another me?
You replace yourself.
I'd go back to like 1995.
Looking like you do now?
Why not?
But you'd replace yourself, and then would you? You'd have to live your life. And
do I retain all my knowledge?
You take all your knowledge, everything.
Well, so great.
So
I'll be a billionaire within a week.
Fuck Bill Gates.
1995. That's what? 16 years ago.
I could do 2000.
You wouldn't see 16 years. You'd live for 16 years shorter.
Oh, it's a permanent thing.
It's a permanent thing. You don't. Yeah.
Yes, but you'd be a billionaire.
So if you normally would have died in 2080, you would die in 2065.
Yeah, I'd go back to about 2000 probably then.
10 years?
I'd go back to right before the iPhone came out and buy a shitload of iPod and buy a shitload of
So you'd be a child of the 60s as opposed to the 70s, like in age-wise, your age group.
I suppose. I don't. I, this is
Your
I,
peers would change.
I don't know. If my heart's not in this. I'm feeling a little nauseous and I'm really hungry.
I would go back, I'd say 1 year. 1 year, I think you can do a lot in 1 year.
You have to.
I'd
have to do more research to look at financial stuff. Because if I'm going to sacrifice the time
that's
of my life,
that's the only reason to go back, right?
No, you make change your life decisions. Also, but yes,
See, I don't. I live my life in a no regrets way, so I don't feel like I have life decisions I need to change.
Yeah, there's not really much. I'm pretty happy with my life the way it is.
I don't make decisions that I think I'm going to regret later, and I've done really well at that.
This question
so
was
far.
Born
I'm not
out
like
of
in
a
that
place
Jim,
of depression.
I'm not like in that Jim Belushi movie where I'm like, oh, if only I hadn't missed that big field goal in the championship game.
Yeah,
and then my whole life would have been different.
That's Ace Ventura too. You know?
You don't think you can make your life that exponentially better with 1 year to redo things, even though.
But in what ways? In what way? Okay, so in your case, for example, if you go back and have a mulligan on the last
Norm's
year,
thinking he'd like
what
to
things?
Back to
what
PC.
Things would you do differently that would make your life better?
Well, financial stuff, personal stuff, lots of different things. Knowing what I know now, 1 year of extra knowledge, do so much.
I don't know, dude. I'm pretty happy with how I've
I just think. I just think and this is why whenever you see this in science fiction, they always tend to be cautionary tales because this stuff isn't meant to be.
So
the
second
reason why things work out the way they work out.
So the second half of the question is, if you went back in time, would you be able to replace yourself the primer way? Would you have the conviction to kill your existing self so you could replace yourself?
No, because if I killed my existing self, I wouldn't be in the future.
No, that's not how it works.
Time.
That's not how it works. It's separate streams. If you were suddenly thrown back
think,
1 year
way,
in the past.
I want to call this now. I'm pretty sure that the big giant twist on Terra Nova is that it's not actually separate time streams. Is that they're destroying the future by going back into the past. That's going to be the big reveal on that show.
Oh, is that what is that? But the premise is they think they're in an alternate time stream?
When they discovered the rift, they sent a probe back.
And they couldn't
find
the
probe. And then they couldn't
probe.
Find the probe. Which is ridiculous because it's 85 million years. And they send something back that's metal from.
They mean they couldn't find it in the modern day.
Like they sent it back and then looked for it in the modern day.
So that's their way of saying we're not affecting the future.
Yeah, but what really happened is they sent it back and then the people that they sent back destroyed it at some point in the indeterminate future.
Right. Okay. Whatever.
So
still not interested.
If you were forced to be thrown back.
That's the right answer.
If you were forced to be thrown back 1 year in time.
Yeah.
Forced to. You have no choice. Would you live a separate life or would you want your own life back? And if you wanted your own life back, would you have enough conviction to. Get rid of your existing self.
I'd live a separate life.
You'd just live a separate life.
Yeah, why not? Why kill somebody? Why kill myself? I think killing yourself is a really psychologically damaging
That's
thing.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think anyone of us could do it.
No, I think dissociative problems could probably.
No, you'd have to do it in the JJ Star Trek way. It would have to be an alternate line. And again, the only reason I would do it would be to go back to buy the stock and bet on the Super Bowl. I would never go back and try to change personal life things.
I might go back and try to change.
I bet you couldn't.
I might go back to October of 2011. And then I would.
I bet you could not change personal life thing. You try to keep everything the same, but it'd be different no matter what.
Ashton Kutcher tried this; it didn't work out.
The butterfly effect.
Yeah, it just got worse every time.
Yeah. Well, so did Homer Simpson did it too.
Yeah,
he just sneezed.
Right. That's the thing is, I think if you went back to try to change something big, then it would drive you mad because you wouldn't be able to do anything. And if you went back to like August of 2001,
you'd have to have something that's really compelling that is just making your life miserable, like a car accident where your whole family is. Mm-hmm. I can understand why somebody would want to go and change, but it's not like, well, my life's pretty good, but it could be better. that's not a good enough reason to go back.
What if you go back to stop the car accident from happening? And you're like, okay, I'm going to make the car so it doesn't work. And then it turns out you just fucked up and cut the brake lines and caused the accident.
That's the premise of Stephen King's new book.
Dun, dun, dun.
It's a time travel book. It says the more you try to change, the harder it becomes to change. The time works against you.
Here's the thing. Even if you could go back to September 10th, 2001, how do you get anyone to take you seriously?
That's the thing. It's 12 monkeys, right? Because wasn't that the
point? Well, you wouldn't need to tell them. Well, he ran around telling people the world's going to end.
I guess you would call the airline or call the authorities and say, because you would, you know, everyone remembers the flight numbers and whatever.
You would say
Muhammad Atta and a bunch of other guys on that plane.
You wouldn't go up September 10th would be too soon.
But again, they're not doing anything illegal. Those guys weren't doing anything illegal until they took control of the plane. They were carrying stuff which at the time was perfectly legal.
Minority Report.
Right.
You'd have to go back before, like, a month before to prepare for the problem is to find out
when they did the flight school stuff in Texas and go there and just shoot them.
Right, but then you're going to be on trial for murder and you're never going to be able to prove why you did it.
So you go to the many outweighs the good of the few or the one.
I guess that's what you would have to do.
Self-sacrifice.
Right.
No, you make a pack. Go
but
back.
Then it's going to have something else is going to happen anyway because we won't have. You
do
know.
The news networks and send big packets out and then, you know.
And again, even though that day was terrible and it led to this horrible, pointless war, who's to say that the alternate version's any better?
It's true.
It could be something else could happen.
Well, you're saying the red alert world.
This is year of hell. We need to find the point of inflection that changes the Mac optimizes.
And again,
restores 99%.
As Kurtwood Smith discovered, you know, every time he tried to change it, it didn't work.
Poor Kurtwood Smith.
You're not supposed
to
mess with this
stuff. The only way to fix it all was to destroy the time ship. Was to erase the time ship.
So you're saying we're really the monsters.
So that none of it ever happened to begin
with.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's the only thing that makes any sense.
Like the worst case is that you end up being Lee Harvey, right? Like you go back in time to stop Kennedy being assassinated, because that's the tipping point for the
century. And who's to say that, you know? Because I mean, look at Christopher Walken, right? In The Dead Zone, had the same issue. Saw Martin Sheen, who was a candidate for president, had a flash forward of he was going to start World War III, so he had to assassinate the president.
Yeah.
Needs of the many.
But it turns out he was just crazy.
No, he really was seeing the future.
Oh, okay. Is that a Stephen King one too?
Yes.
He does a lot of time.
God, he's doing the same. No, well, this he says it'll be his last one. But have you heard the premise of this book?
I pre-ordered it. I read the premise and I liked it.
Oh, just the thing about the Kennedy assassination.
Yeah. Kennedy assassination, yeah. But the time machine goes back the same time every day. So the guy he works on the back of like a deli or something, and the chef there, the cook there, goes back and buys the same meat every day at low prices. But because it's the same point, the time machine, every day he uses it, it just goes back to the same point.
Mm-hmm.
He has about the same meat. And so it's not like you go back and it's in, like, it's always 10 years in the past. The longer you wait, it's more in the past. Like, you always exit the same point.
Hmm. I read a really fascinating book by, I think, Joe Haldeman called, I can't remember what the name of the book was, but it was about a guy who discovers time travel, and the first time he jumps forward like 3 minutes, and the second time he jumps forward 3 hours, and the third time he jumps forward 3 days, and there's no going back. So, you know, at first he jumps forward and he's like, why is it night, right? That's weird. And then – or the first time nothing happens perceivably. The second time it's 3 minutes. The third time it's 3 hours, whatever. Really, really super fascinating book. But it's an exponential curve. So by like the 10th jump, he's going forward 300, 400, 500 years.
That's, the powers of 10.
Oh, on a semi-related subject, have you seen this all-electric DeLorean they're making?
That's a terrible idea.
It's fantastic.
No.
No, it's a great
idea. It's a super heavy car. It's a really incredibly dumb idea.
The guys bought up all the chassis and rebuilt them.
You don't think they'll sell many of those?
Yeah, because there's plenty of idiots out there.
Zorans had terrible transmissions.
But they're rebuilding the thing
from scratch.
No, that's what I'm saying.
It's still a stainless steel, heavy-ass body.
The people who want DeLoreans for nostalgia will want these versions of the DeLoreans because they can actually drive them.
Yes. I think that's going to be a whole business, like the whole future, like the taking Oldsmobile Rocket 88s and retrofitting them for electric or hybrid or whatever is going to be something that people do a shitload of.
Oh, sure.
In the future.
Reverse question. If you had to go forward in time, and I know we've talked about this before.
Oh, we got to roll.
Okay. What's the optimal years to go forward in time to see the future but also not lose all your loved
ones? You get one chance?
You get one chance.
3 years.
It's not exciting enough.
Well, 3 years ago, you didn't have the iPhone.
Plus, you are going to lose your loved one. Yeah. You've gone forward far enough that your wife and your loved ones, whatever, they'll all have moved on.
Right.
So you're going to jump forward 3 years, and yeah, you get an iPhone 7, but Gina's married to some other dude.
Maybe you get to give them 3 months a year.
You get to let people know.
3 months a year.
Oh, yeah, but is she going to wait? Yeah. It's like going to jail. People don't wait.
It's like going to jail, but not aging.
You're going to temporal jail.
I think 3 months a year then. I think you skip 3 months a year. Skip winter.
3 months?
Instead of one jump. I'm saying like the goal is to jump 3 months. I don't know.
Again, I would reject, honestly, even if the technology was real, I would reject.
Yeah, it's a trap.
I wouldn't want to go. I'm telling you, you're going to get fucked over.
And on that
note, it's not going to work out.
And on that note, this has been This Is Only Test. We'll be back next Thursday. Bye, guys.